If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Y'all just mad. Because today, you suckers got served. Sir. Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, beautiful people. Are you having fun? I can't hear you. Yes.
Screechy and annoying.
Hi, neighbor. A little trouble with my zipper there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock, Carol Q. I'm out of here. Say goodnight, and hopefully I'll get some sleep. I doubt it. Never get sleep where I live. I'm a robot.
And now, we're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have good time. Here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:31, and it is Monday the 10th of double December.
Boobs.
So about a minute ago, I said, I'm in the studio. You know, this is Bean speaking from Acoustic Christmas last night. So I'm in town. I'm in the studio. I says to Mike, I says, hey, what time does Blondie show up? And he says, well, the show starts in 45 seconds. So I think in about 38. And it's almost like he counts it down in his mind. And here he comes in 5, 4, 3, 2. Good morning, Kevin.
And was he right?
And he was right on time.
Yes, it's impressive.
You guys have a well-oiled machine going on
There's two different ways to do it. One is that I come right from my car and I barely make it. And the other is sometimes I'm in the office talking to Lightning.
And then, have the show on.
And then I hear
office.
Like the show in like some other room because he won't turn it on. No. I kind of hear like it's beginning.
What's rad about it is regardless of which of those two options it is, Kevin's so cavalier about it when he gets in the studio. Yeah. He just kind of strolls in, and the show opens counting down, and he just pots with the mic, boom, with 1 second to go. Hey, good morning, everybody. Boom. It's like WKRP or something, just perfect, very Hollywood.
Dude, I'll tell you, when I first started, and I was horrible.
Yes.
I was so nervous that I would start the song. You know, it's like a 4-minute song. And about 1 minute into it, I would turn on my mic and be prepared, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I would turn it up with about 2 minutes to go and
those
just be quiet.
Those days are gone.
Yeah, those days are way gone.
Way gone. So how about that Muse? How about them?
Yeah. Come on.
How about that as a band right
just
there?
Just unfreaking believable, those guys.
Mike, does it make you want to give up music? Like, what's the point? It's been done kind of thing when you watch them? Or does it make you aspire to top them?
Number two. And not to top them, but it motivates me to want to do something better.
Right.
You know,
but
when you see, like, certain bands, I'm not going to name names, it frustrates you that they're famous and rich, and you go, I'm better than them. I could do that. Right. But then when you see bands like Muse, you go, well, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to
right.
do in my life. And obviously I need to go home and play the guitar for 100 hours straight without resting.
Right. But see, the problem is, and the reason Bean asked this is because you could practice your guitar every day for the rest of your life.
Sure.
You're not going to be that
dude. That dude is a genius. And I don't throw around that word very often. That guy is a musical prodigy genius.
Prodigy was there?
I never know. Just amazing. Second best live band today. Right
wow.
behind Rage.
Wow, I'm saying something.
Really yeah. amazing.
Yeah, they brought it, man. They rocked it last
yeah,
night.
They
really did. And you know me, I mean, I stayed up for the whole webcast. That, for me, let's think about the commitment of that. And they didn't get off till 11:07, so tell me I wasn't into it if
wow.
I stayed up that late.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, a lot of people might have misunderstood that because Bean was at the show.
Well,
but till I could leave.
Leaves at his earliest convenience so he can watch it online at his hotel room.
Much better.
Was that about 8:30?
No, I love the Mouse, and so I had to stay for the Mouse.
Oh, okay.
So I left after the Mouse.
Okay.
Yeah. But then I saw the end of Jimmy Eat World, and then I saw all of Muse on the webcast. Webcast, by the way, gets better and better every year.
Just
couldn't
really
be more. It's like watching television. Couldn't be more flawless.
I wanted to ask, too, because I tried to record it last night, and I screwed something up. I don't know. Do they archive that? Can you go back today and watch
usually
it?
On AT&T Blue Room for most shows, and I don't know if there's any special rules with ours, it's archived for at least a week. You can go on and watch
good.
It for the for 7 days following.
Very cool.
But yeah, that is one thing we probably don't talk enough about leading up to Acoustic Christmas is if you're one of the many who can't go in person, it's pretty sweet. Especially really if you've got, I don't have this hookup, but I know a lot of people have a hookup where they can bring up their internet on their computer too and watch on the actual TV, and that would be the way to go.
And those guys, honestly, are amazing because I don't know much about stuff like
AT&T
that.
Blue Room?
Yeah. It is so technically difficult to get something on a webcast from when we record it to when they get it out there that quickly. Mm-hmm. And they every single year they do it pretty much seamlessly, and I mean, it's amazing.
Great camera work, great directing, and it really looks good.
However, having said that, if you did watch it at krock.com, you had to endure the blowhard host for the webcast this year.
Yeah, was a dick.
All right. I saw Psycho Mike at the end. He was hosting the thing on the webcast. I saw him at the end, and he's such a tool because Muse just did, and Mike's sitting there in a sled or something, okay?
Right.
And he's leaning back, and he's got his sunglasses on. He's just being too cool for school. And he says things like, well, it's bedtime for Maiko, you know, and things like that.
It's bedtime for Maiko?
I actually made a poor PA who has been working for ADD Blue and forgot like a day get on his hands and knees and pretend as if he was tugging my sled. And I said,
and that's not a euphemism.
I said, mush, Rocco, it's bedtime for Maiko.
Bedtime for Maiko is what you had to endure if you watched the webcam. I mean, come on.
There's levels of hell. One is somebody who would refer to himself as the Mike, which he does.
All hey, the Mike sure enjoyed that.
But
Mike would like some of that.
Bedtime for Maiko. I rented that, by the way, over the weekend. Pretty good.
Did you?
All right. Yeah, I saw him just before I left my house to go to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was being a douche then.
Right.
He went to the show, watched the whole thing, got home. I didn't get to check him out being a douche at the end.
He continued to douchify as the night went on. He got douchier and douchier. He'll end up close to Chris Angel by the time the thing's over.
He really will.
He's in that vicinity.
Who, by the way, were we told last night it was on Oprah today?
Somebody did tell us that Chris Angel is a guest on Oprah today. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Which I hope people who were thinking of voting for Barack Obama because Oprah said so will now change their mind because she clearly doesn't know what she's doing anymore if she's having Chris Angel on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, Bea was saying last night, I think you were saying last night, that Hillary Clinton should just get up and go, Chris Angel's on Oprah. Whatever.
Vote for me.
Exactly. If that means something to you, go ahead.
Well, I think we're going to be doing more of the recap of the show coming up in the 6 o'clock hour and taking some calls from people and whatnot.
And whatnot especially, though. We're going to focus on whatnot.
That'll be funny.
Being down in person, and that usually there are a few hiccups. Because
what?
He's not...
What are you talking about?
He doesn't get along with... blend in with, talk to normal human beings
people
in a very, very good way. So today we're going to take calls from people who've had encounters with Bean.
Oh, come on. How are you going to come at me like that?
And through the years, whatever, you know, and what it was like. And this came out of the Miss Double D contest, where one of the contestants, I think it was Irene, had just broken up with her boyfriend. Asked Bean to sign her ass. And by the way, smoking hot.
Yep.
Yeah.
He, of course, said no. And then Bean said, well, was I at least nice about it? And she said, no, not really.
Bean, I wish I knew how to quit you.
So I originally had titled it Bad Encounters with Bean. And then Bean said, well, why can't we take good encounters? And I said, fantastic. You know, you don't even need to put bad. You know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, that's encounters just, with Bean is good enough.
I met a lot of people last night, and I was very nice. I took photos with them. And
you think you were nice. We'll find out the truth today, won't we?
No, Bean is nice at times, but see, he doesn't understand when he crosses the line into being an a-hole.
Exactly.
So anyway, we'll do that today. We also have Adrian Curry in the studio today.
That's
right.
The current Playboy.
We should have a copy here. We're supposed to have had one here this morning. I have not seen it yet.
I'm sure Davo took it home. Sure, that's what happened.
Spank time for Davo.
It's bedtime for Michael.
I know.
Come on.
Really, though?
You knew.
Wow.
Carson Daly on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Got a charity to tell you about. We got a lot of stuff. We're going to be super unsharp. Less professional than normal because it was a long weekend. We were up late last night. So,
Ralph, we need to carve out some time for Ralph because did you chat with him at all last night?
Not much.
The stories he has to tell from being at the fight on Saturday night are unbelievable. I mean, it really sounds like it was just chilling to be there in person with all the stuff that was going on. So, I definitely want to give him the opportunity to talk about that on the air because it was apparently just amazing.
So, we were watching that in the green room at one point, and I had to leave to go do an introduction. I was like, come on!
How dare you? Let somebody else do it.
Well, I think they show it next weekend on HBO if they do what they usually do. It's a week later they'll show it. But, yeah, it sounds like it was a hell of a fight.
It's a great fight. So all that's coming up this morning. We are going to take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat, and that is next.
That looks like Ralph Garman coming in right now.
Morning, yes, Ralph. It does, Bean.
Oh, he has no headphones.
Uh-oh, no headphones.
Is that a problem for anyone but me?
Well, you know. Well, the Myco doesn't really think of anyone but himself when he's setting up the room.
I think he'd check that out.
I had to beg for some, too. So
Bean had to beg for some, too. Yeah, there was none for Bean.
So apparently I got Ralph's, and, like, if you're coming late, I guess that's what happens.
Yeah.
There you go,
here
Mugs here.
Beer Mugs has got some. Now we've got more headphones we don't have to deal with. got nothing.
Mug's in bad shape, by the way, over the weekend. I ran into him many times.
Mug, he knows how to party, that dude, man.
He does, yeah.
He's not fond of alcohol, so that's really not an issue.
Not at all.
Ralph, you have a good time for Ralph, though, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
You have a good time last night?
Oh, it was great. Blast.
Good show, right?
It really was. Killers just rocked.
Yeah, they were good. They were a surprise for those of you who didn't see it. The Killers.
And they brought out Funny Man, whose name I can never say, Zach
Zafanamahanganakaridis.
Right,
yeah,
that guy. That they brought him out as Santa Claus, right, just like he is in their very funny video for Don't Shoot Me Santa. That very funny comedian came out as Santa Claus on stage last night and they just made it a show, man.
Hosed the crowd.
I was not comfortable with Santa's crazy eyes. I felt like he had killed maybe that night.
Horror movie Santa.
It's really a bit
Silent
scary.
Night, Deadly Night.
What about the reaction when the stage turned, there was no introduction, all of a sudden there are the Killers, the biggest rock and roll band of the world, on the stage performing, and no one knew they were coming. What about that?
Everyone that was cool.
Look, Freddie Mercury from Queen. They said, no, wait a minute. It's the Killers.
And that dude from My Name is Earl on the drums. What the hell?
It's Jason Lee doing drumming.
That was good times. It's 5:49 Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, if you want to be in the pit for Acoustic Christmas last night, you can call now. Dave's got plenty of tickets.
Plenty of tickets.
Plenty of tickets. So good luck with that.
He'll put you on stage if you want.
What
do we care?
What's going on, Mr. Gurman?
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Compass, number one, as expected this weekend, $26 million made it number one.
Wow.
Anybody get a chance to check out Fighting Polar Bears in Suits of Armor?
No.
Anyone? No.
So I had time for one movie because of acoustic. It was Juno, which was great.
Oh,
Juno,
we saw
I
Juno.
Like it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh. Yeah, a lot of people were raving about it. I had some friends at the show last night we were talking about it, too, so they really dug it. Enchanted was number two at the box office. This thing's just a monster hit. Made another $10 million this weekend. Good enough to put it at number two on the top 10 list. This Christmas was number three. $5 million it made. Story, of course, of a paraplegic rodeo clown who celebrates Christmas with his family.
This is black people celebrating the holidays. That's what this movie is.
I don't think so. I've heard the theme song, and it sounds to me like it's about...
This Christmas.
Yeah. See? That's what I'm talking about.
I've been a paraplegic now for more than 20 years.
Hell of a movie. Great idea for a movie. Hey, can we find... We have the whole song somewhere. Let's play it this week.
All right.
I'll get the rest of that story.
Really is the feel-good hit of the holiday season.
That's really an upper.
Yep. Fred Claus was number four. A lot of people in the Christmas spirit this year. What's going on in the television, Bean? What? You're getting everyone's attention in the room.
My girlfriend
while I'm
on
talking
Channel 4.
And pointing towards the television screen.
The weather check.
Let's
the
talk about that rather than what I'm talking
I'm
about.
I'm fascinated with what you're saying,
not.
But I love...
You're waving at Lisa Mae, getting Psycho Mike's
I
attention,
them to
and
enjoy
you're pointing
her.
Over my head at
he's,
the screen.
He's the most distracting person in the world.
Freaking ADD mother effer.
I love her so much,
get back
though.
On the effing ferry.
She does weather for Channel 4, and she's so
well,
hot.
Well, now we had to turn the TV off because you can't play like a big boy.
I just wanted everybody to enjoy
to turn
her, too.
The show around.
When I'm not sidetracked.
I know.
But he is.
That's bad.
For God's sake.
I love her so.
Well, love her on your own time.
Number five, we're doing a radio show. Just a little bit of attention.
But
5 minutes at a shot, that's all you have to do. Then you can just go spank it all you want during the commercials.
If this is your time, though, and it's my time, isn't it our time?
Easy, Spicoli.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Fred Claus was number four. Beowulf was number five. No Country for Old Men, number six. August Rush was number seven. Hitman was number eight. Awake was number nine in its debut.
Oh,
ouch, ouch, ouch.
Apparently, everyone was just as eager to see Hayden Christensen go under anesthesia as I was. Made $3 million this weekend. And B-Movie rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Ralph, can I just butt in for 1 second?
Please.
Fernando in Palmdale?
Yes.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Yes, I heard you guys are giving out tickets for the pit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many do you need, Fernando?
Couple.
Okay. Just two? Only two? We'll give you four if you want them.
He's that greedy. I like that.
Okay. All right. The show's last night. Can you make it?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
All right, good.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
See you then.
About how to go back in time.
It's so baked. Dude, if he knows Hero, though, he's going to burn us and actually show up.
Him and Hero in the pit.
He doesn't need our freaking tickets if he knows Hero. That's true. He can just teleport in.
Congratulations to Scott Baio and his longtime girlfriend, Renee Sloan. They got married over the weekend.
Finally.
He's going to have to change the name of that VH1 reality show.
Yep.
Scott Baio is 45 and a douchebag.
Should have changed it before he did it. He was worth it the whole time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He got married in a rooftop ceremony at a luxury high-rise in Los Angeles. That is ritzy.
Yes, romantic.
On the roof
too.
Of an apartment building. Can't ask for nicer than that. Her 18-year-old daughter was present.
Dude.
And Scott left with her. What? What? What does it say here? No, apparently they're along with their brand new baby daughter, whose name hasn't been released to the press yet because some people think it's Chachi.
Oh. By the way, if I'm Scott Baio's new wife, knowing Chachi and his history, I'm seriously concerned that he'll nail my daughter.
Yes.
I mean, I really am.
He's
nailed everyone else.
Woody Allen for his generation.
Yeah, it would not be inconsistent with his behavior his whole life.
Yeah.
Ralph, do you mind if I just butt in just for a second?
No, go for it.
Gabriella?
Yes?
What can we do for you?
I was called. Hello?
Hi. Yes, we're
go
here.
Ahead. Go ahead.
We're here. What can we do for you?
Oh, what can you do for me? I feel really weird. You guys, I just happened to turn on the radio and it said to call in at the time. Yes?
For acoustic Christmas tickets.
Yeah, for
right.
Pit tickets.
No, acoustic. Oh. Acoustic Christmas ticket.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Is that why last night?
Oh, it was last night, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
no worries.
The joke's on me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. You're
a fool.
I like.
But thanks. Thanks for being our joke.
At least she realized it in a minute.
Hey, wait a minute.
I'm a sucker.
That was last night.
I sound so stupid right
why,
now.
Why, you guys, I oughta.
I wish I hadn't given my real name.
That's what she's saying right now. Britney Spears. It just keeps getting better. Every time we think, all right, she's bottomed out.
She delivers.
She's as white trash as she can be, and she has just made an ass of herself to the nth degree. She can go no further. She does it once again.
Close your leg, bitch!
TMZ.com, I don't know if you saw it Friday or not, caught her shoplifting a cigarette lighter from a Chevron on Friday.
Yes. Yes.
First, she went to the counter of the Chevron, paid for some gum at the register, left, then came back, grabbed a lighter off the counter, and then walked out.
F you, you effing bitch.
I'm sure she thought they were free. They're just sitting there at the counter.
Right. I don't think it's... I mean, I know we all think she's crazy and all, but there's no way she thought it was free. She just figured she's Britney and they wouldn't say
right.
anything.
She was just sure. going to yank somebody's chain.
Did she want the attention? Did she want to be able to say, look at me, I'm cool?
It's got to be. Owner of the gas station told People.com he's not going to file a police report for a $1.39 item.
Well, there you go.
He said, I know, she can afford to pay for it. It's just not right for her to steal a lighter.
Where is it? I could use some lighters if they're giving them away for free.
Yeah. No, they're not, the Kevin. Hell? That's $1.39.
But can't, I mean, I guess he can charge the next guy who comes in and does the same thing. I guess Britney did it as no defense for shoplifting.
Well, of course not. No.
Yeah.
She makes over $700,000 a month, by the way. This was revealed in court documents in her child support battle with Kevin Federline.
Yeah.
So she could afford to pay for a $1.39 lighter.
You think?
Apparently, the guy running the video camera for TMZ mentioned that she forgot to pay for the item, and she sarcastically said into the camera, I stole something. Oh, I'm bad. Ooh.
So if she realized that, why did she not then just turn around and go in and give the guy a buck?
Because she's a horrible, horrible whore.
Why, Brittany? Why?
Why, indeed.
Wow. She's spectacular.
She's just... horrible. It's a horrible person on every level. Maxim magazine has released their list of the worst on-screen love scenes of all time.
Ooh, worst love scenes.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Can I guess?
Sure.
The only one that comes to mind, because it's so legendary and so unexpected, was Eyes Wide Shut.
I was thinking the same thing.
Tom Cruise and his wife, Nicole Kidman, who had less sexual chemistry than strangers on screen.
It was a bad sex scene, don't get me wrong, but they're both still fairly attractive people, so you can manage to watch it without...
Oh, that's what they're going with, all right.
...choking down their lunch.
Right. Okay.
The top five, it's just people you really don't want to see have sex on the screen, I think is what they're saying. Number five was William H. Macy and Maria Bello in The Cooler.
She's hot.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not.
Don't get me wrong. He's one of my favorite actors of all time.
We didn't need to see that.
Don't need to see his flabby white ass going up and down in that scene.
Totally. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Number four, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez making love in Gigli.
Did you see that?
Did see it, yeah. Yeah. Sharon Stone and Joe Pesci in Casino.
Oh!
Yeah, that was pretty rough. But the number one worst love scene of all time, Rosie O'Donnell and Julian McMahon in Nip Tuck.
Absolutely.
Rolling around on the floor there.
Giddy up.
You know, the other one I thought of because it was so uncomfortable was Billy Bob and Halle Berry, if you recall, in that movie.
Yeah.
What was that film called? Which one was that?
Monsters Ball.
Yeah, because they're making hate in that one. Yeah. I mean, that is not sexy.
No, that was...
It is to Mike.
The Mike loved it. And Fox News reported on Friday that Nick Lachey and his girlfriend Vanessa Minnillo... We're getting married this weekend in the Bahamas at a secret ceremony at one of the Carlisle hotels. So congratulations to Nick. Oh, wait a minute. Nick was in Cincinnati.
What?
At the time. Working on his new NBC show, Clash of the Choirs.
Oh, no. Shut up.
Did you say the words Clash of the Choirs?
So there was no way they could get married this weekend in the Bahamas.
He's on that. Have you guys seen the commercials?
One of the hosts of Clash.
What is that?
It is American Idol with choirs now.
Damn it.
Church singing groups.
Church five choirs peel off their robes and throw down or something. That's what it says on the commercial. They rip off the robes and rip back the curtain of choir singing.
Can God hear me if I say something right now, Ralph?
I'm asking the wrong dude, but give it a shot.
Please, please, please settle the writer's strike. Do that for us, won't you?
So Clash of the Choirs will go away?
Maybe. It might not help, but it can't hurt. We got to get some shows on that people have to write. We've got to stop this.
Where do the choirs go? To the Choir Hall of Fame? I mean, what's
oddly enough, they go to the Choir Hall of Fame.
That's one show that's going to be 100% black, because they are the best choirs by 100%.
Yeah, if there's a white choir on there, they're tokens.
Might as well just leave.
They're going to get served?
Yep.
Wait a minute, the tokens are going to be on there?
No question.
Well done. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm hungover, but I still got it.
See, Kevin, that was a band that sang The Lion Sleeps Tonight. The tokens is what they were calling
it. Oh, I know that song. Sure. Don't need to hear it right now, but
that takes you back to the Lion King, doesn't it?
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Everybody, sing it out. That was the tokens. See?
That was the funny, funny joke that Ralph made.
Yeah. For eight people.
You don't get it, man. You don't get it.
Which bean was six of them. And just a quick celebratory note. Happy anniversary to Hugh Hefner and Playboy magazine. It first hit the newsstands on this day in 1953.
How about that? Wow.
Featuring the now famous nude shot of Marilyn Monroe. It was the first issue ever. So congratulations to Hef and Playboy magazine. 1953.
How about that?
Still going strong.
Good timing. Later on this morning, Adrienne Curry, who's the cover girl and model in this brand new Playboy that just came out this week, will be joining us in the studio.
Looks great.
With her new boobs.
Looks spectacular. Today's celebrity birthdays, there's no Mark on the list. Michael Clark Duncan, however, he's having a birthday. He is 50 years old
today.
The Michael. Clark O'Dunko. He is 50 years old today. Kenneth Branagh.
Ooh.
Very talented actor, director. He is 47 years old today. Emmanuel Cirqui, or Cirqui, or Cirqui.
Who is
Cirqui? She plays Sloane on Entourage.
Oh.
Yeah. She's very hot.
She's 30 years old today. And Paul Hardcastle, 19.
Love that song.
He is 50 years old today. I think Rodney's throwing him a party in the back of his GTO. It's going to be very entertaining.
Small guest list, but
it's just two people. But still, they're going to rock. If that GTO is a rocking, don't come a knocking. That's all I got to tell you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, let's talk about a charity that we've mentioned before, and it was founded by some girls when they were in high school. And it's a very cool idea, and we had never even thought of it before, but they founded a charity that we want to tell you about. It's Marnie and Bernie Barta. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Were you the girls that we talked to about KidFlix.org a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I was actually on talking about it a while ago.
Okay. And you guys still got it up and running, and it sounds like from the website it's just going gangbusters, like it's getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, we've had some really great improvements.
Tell people how it all got started with your friend.
Well, I'd say back in 2002, we were cleaning around our house, and we noticed that we had a lot of movies that we had just outgrown, and we weren't sure what we wanted to do with them at the time. So I had a friend earlier who was in the hospital being treated for leukemia, and she said that she watched movies all the time. So we decided to donate to the hospital that she was at.
When we donated them, the nurse told us that the kids asked, that was the first thing kids asked for when they first come to the hospital. And we started telling our family and friends and started collecting them.
And these hospitals don't have a stockpile of movies for them,
or
right?
Or the funds for
it's
it.
It's probably
yeah.
something they never thought of,
yeah.
by the way, because they just assume that, you know, family members will bring down DVDs and they may not have them. But I guess it makes a lot of sense if you're sitting in a hospital. And how long was your friend in the hospital, for instance, with nothing to do all day, every day?
She was there for a really good chunk of the year,
yeah.
not like a little bit longer.
Yeah, so you got a lot of time to kill, and boy, what's a better way to make time go by than to watch a film, right?
Right.
Yeah, if you're in the hospital for any amount of time, you realize how much you hate daytime TV.
Oh, God.
It just blows.
That is true. All right, so you made that donation, and that's when the wheels started turning, and you said, wow, if this helps our friend in this one hospital, there's got to be a way to kind of get this to go everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, after that, we really decided that we wanted to continue doing this, and we started pretty small, just donating to hospitals in the area, but we got such a great response from everyone that was donating that we decided that it was something that we should really carry through outside of California.
How'd you get the word out originally when you first started the charity? Was it through the website?
Well, first we started emailing our family and friends, and we sent letters. And then we started up the website, and that helped a lot, too.
And how many movies have you provided for hospitals?
At this point, we've donated 28,000 movies.
28,000? Wait, you said 28,000?
Yeah.
Yep. Wow, you guys are amazing.
It's really bizarre, too, because a lot of people have movies that they never watch anymore. It's such an easy idea to be able to do that. Is there a movie that you get the most?
We get a lot of Disney movies, which are really popular with the kids, too.
And is that because families still have them in their den after their kids have grown up?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of the reason.
Is there any movie so bad that you get it and you go, these kids are sick, I'm not going to inflict this one on them. I'm going to send it back.
Well, we generally don't like to be the critics of the movies, but if there are any movies that would be just overly depressing about, like, maybe, like, a cancer patient that doesn't make it, then yeah. we might withhold those.
So terms of endearment is that one you're going to send to somebody, for instance, right?
I was going
to
send Faces of Death, no?
Not a bad idea. I would have said that Quentin Tarantino, Roberto Rodriguez double feature from last year.
Film,
yeah,
man.
That's what I'm going to do. Hey, how sick would I have to be to get some of these movies?
This isn't for you.
What? It sounds like an awesome thing.
It's for children in the hospital to pass the time.
Oh. So when people want to contact you, do they pack up the stuff and just mail it to an address on the website, or do you guys pick it up, or how's that work?
Well, they can send it to our dad's office. We can give you the address
Go
if
ahead.
You want.
Go ahead.
It's 11755 Wilshire Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90025.
And
number
that's
1450.
Suite 1450. And we'll put that up at krock.com, too, so people, if they're in their car or whatever, they can't write stuff down right now.
Great, thanks.
Also, for people that live near us, we sometimes will offer to go pick them up or find out a way that they could drop them off at a more convenient location.
Yeah.
I have Ernest Goes to Camp. Do you think they'd like that?
Oh, yeah, I think they'd love
no,
that.
No, I don't think they would. That's a bad movie.
Kevin has the whole Ernest box set.
Sure.
So, well, I know we've had you on before, but when we saw that the program was still up and running and still as successful as it is, we thought, you know, more power to you. If we can help promote it just for a minute here, we wanted to make sure to do it, especially, you know, at the holidays. Is there anything
yeah.
sadder than being in the hospital? You know what I mean?
Definitely.
No.
So
yeah,
it's awesome. And by the way, you are getting some help from Hollywood, too. I mean, aren't you on some lists from some of the studios as well?
Yeah, we've received thousands of donations from different movie companies. I know that MGM has sent us thousands
wow.
as well as DreamWorks.
Well, this is cool, too, because there are a lot of people out there who really would love to help but don't have any money.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe they've got some movies laying around that they could
exactly.
send in, and that's really cool. The website is kidflix.org. So if people want to go there, I'm sure they could find the address there to mail them and everything.
Right,
and if Rodney, if you're listening, it's not what you think.
Oh.
It's kidflix.org. We've been talking to Marnie and Bernie Barta. Great to have you guys on, and happy holidays to both of you and your whole family, okay?
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Even though it's the holidays, the celebrity beat never stops. And Harvey Levin is out there getting it done for TMZ.com and TMZ TV. Good morning, Harvey.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
How was your weekend? Do anything fun? What do you do for fun, Harvey, when you're not TMZing?
I went to New York, and it was beautiful.
It was so beautiful.
It was People's Court.
Yeah, it was great.
Is that what you went for, is People's Court?
Huh?
So that's your big weekend. That's your big free weekend away from TMZ is working on the People's Court.
Yeah, but I had fun in New York. It's just, it was so great.
It's a great city.
It's all decorated for Christmas.
I get the, I get the idea, a guy like Harvey, though, he doesn't vacation or rest. I mean,
no, but well, hold on. We had a TMZ had a party on Saturday night.
Right.
And you know where we had it, our Christmas party?
No.
At Vitello's.
No kidding.
Really?
Yes. I love Vitello's.
Did anyone get killed?
No, but the guy, but the maitre d' showed me the booth and where the gun was supposed
That's
to be.
That's good.
And here's the deal. It's become this huge tourist place now.
Sure.
The business is booming and everybody requests the booth. And they decided rather to hide from it, they embrace it.
Yep.
And everybody orders the rigatoni that she ate.
Oh, my God. Do they name it after Robert Blake's wife on the menu?
No, they didn't.
Now, the place that the waiter worked that OJ killed, quote unquote, that place eventually went out of business and closed down. They did not embrace it, if I recall correctly.
And now listen to this for weird. That was Mezzaluna.
That's right. Right. Yeah, right.
And so Nicole Brown Simpson is a blonde, a wife of a star, and she eats pasta and she gets killed. And the same thing happens in an Italian restaurant with Bonnie Lee Bakley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, think about that.
Don't be blonde and order the pasta.
I got right. Exactly.
Get the fish. That's my point.
Carbs
are bad.
Now, Harvey, Brittany didn't slow down while you were in New York. She continues to make headlines every 15 minutes on your site. What's going on with her lately?
Well, she was at a convenience store where she rolls. There was a lot of craziness, and she took a lighter without paying this weekend.
And why do you think that was?
You know, I just think... because she kind of gets things handed to her, so you know, paying for stuff just isn't necessarily in her consciousness.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of craziness. Initially, the guy was going to prosecute her, and then decided it's Britney Spears.
Yeah.
When she goes to Starbucks 14 times a day, does she pay for those?
That's a good question. You know what? I'm assuming she does, but I don't know. I mean, maybe she has one of them there cards.
Maybe. Maybe she has a gift card that she can keep replenishing.
Right.
What about the new thing on your site where she went from sweet to sour in 1 second?
Well, I mean, she does that. She's really
moody?
Volatile. Yeah, I mean,
crazy.
You know, literally.
Bipolar?
Well, you know.
Yeah. Retarded.
Go ahead.
I'm
sorry.
No, I'm shutting up.
We're not certifiable.
I'm just listening to you.
We're finished.
I'm actually typing right now. It's going to go up on the website in about 4 seconds.
Oh, good. You were talking about how she's all happy and giddy and full of light 1 minute, and I love people, and it's great to be here, and I love you, and it's great to see you, and I couldn't be happier. And then the next minute, she's just like tearing her head off, just screaming at people. I mean, she really seems to have a love-hate relationship with the circus that surrounds her.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's bigger than that. I mean, we've talked about this for a long time. Everybody says, oh, she's got a substance abuse problem. I don't think that's what it is. I really think she's got something that makes her mood swing radically. And this is just one example of it, but I don't think it has to do with paparazzi, and I don't think it has to do with attention. I just think that's kind of who she is, and that's what I've been hearing from everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what about the story on your site where she was banned from Winston's because she forced someone to change clothes with her? What was that about?
Well, just what you said. I mean, what do you need to know more about that?
This was the story that is this the story that Ralph did last week where a waitress she wanted to change clothes and the waitress did and put them up on eBay or whatever?
Yeah. And I mean, she's got a thing about waitresses too. Remember, she went to the Viceroy Hotel about a month ago, and she actually went in there and asked the waitress for an application because she decided her life would be better.
Right.
She
was,
that's
remember
right.
that?
Yeah, that's where she needs to be is behind a bar with free access.
Absolutely.
But here's what's weird. And again, you can't use normal behavior as the guide when you're talking about Britney. But, I mean, can any of us in this room or on the phone or even listening imagine walking up to somebody in public that you don't know and wanting them to take their clothes off their dirty body and put it on yours? Would you ever want to switch clothes with somebody in the street?
Depends on how
personally.
Yeah, I
depends
mean,
on how hot they are.
She just, I mean, most people, but you know, girls, they keep an eye out for fashion. If they think an outfit is attractive, they'll say, "Hey, that's a cute top. Where'd you get it?"
Exactly.
You know what
that's
I mean?
As far as you go.
That's as far as you go.
Take it off.
Give it to me.
What's Brittany got going on for the holidays? Do we know yet, Harvey?
She's going to get the kids for Christmas.
Oh,
yeah.
With a court ordered Babysitting.
Yeah. I mean, the parties agreed. I mean, they ultimately, you know, they got to work this stuff out because they can't keep going back to the judge and asking him to decide every holiday. So they actually worked this one out. So Kevin got the kids on Thanksgiving, and she's going to get him for Christmas. And they're working out this whole visitation thing, but he's pissed off because she changes her mind every 5 minutes on whether she wants the kids today or doesn't want the kids today. So he's kind of...
Okay, yeah. And she's buying Marlboros and scotch for the babies, right? I mean, that's the gift.
That's the gift. But what about Donald Trump? Can't we talk about that? Because I love that story.
You know, we did that story about him tipping $10,000.
But is it
And
really...
it's not true, right, Harvey?
Well, here's the deal. It's not true, but when I was in New York, I had lunch with our cameraman there.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kid worked at a restaurant about a year ago, one of my camera guys. And just before he got there, supposedly Donald Trump had done exactly the same thing, and he had tipped $10,000 to this waitress. So, you know, he's saying it's not true, and he talked to us and said it's absolutely not true, and I'm assuming it isn't. But my thing is, if somebody starts a rumor about that about him, why doesn't he just say, you know, I don't comment about what I tip and let people believe what they want to believe?
Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Because he probably started the rumor, and he could probably be disproved pretty easily.
The funny thing was, and I saw on your site, Harvey, is that he was accusing the restaurant of making it up to get their name out and to garner publicity.
Which, you know, wouldn't be out of the question. I mean, I'm not saying the restaurant did it, but it's not a bad publicity ploy. But the oh, God, I just blanked on who it is. Hold on one second. Hey, Evan, who is the guy who supposedly tipped $500?
It was Jerry Bruckheimer.
Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing. I mean, supposedly this started because Bruckheimer was tipping $500, and Trump wanted to outdo him, but Trump is saying it's not true.
That's fantastic. By the way, Drew Carey, still the consistent best tipper in Hollywood, is what we hear. He's the man.
What percentage?
Like $100 on a Bob's Big Boy meal every time he goes in, you know, that
Get
sort of
out.
Thing. No,
he does.
He's very generous guy.
And some pot.
Exactly, yeah. Well, Harvey, we probably will not talk to you again because we're off at the end of this week. But thank you for everything in 2007 and continued success and congratulations on TMZ. And you are you're a great guy. We're always very, very happy to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I love you guys. And can I just put my vote in?
Sure.
Adam West.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. You can't go back. It's already been ruled on.
The decider did rule, but between you and me, Harvey, you're absolutely right.
All right.
Have a good one, dude.
Happy holidays,
guys. Bye.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That band, the secret band at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, The Killers, just turned the stage. They were there. They did that song. And the Santa Claus that came out.
Yes.
Had killed that night.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
He's an evil Santa.
His eyes were...
What's his face?
Zach Galifianakis.
Galifianakis.
Very funny. Very funny in the video, too. Yeah. We're going to take your calls. If you were there Saturday or Sunday night, you have stories to share. 1-800-520-1067. We want a recap from you on this year's Acoustic Christmas. Assistant producer Alex, the super whore, is here. You were in the crowd right up front when the stage turned and the Killers showed up.
Oh, that was the best.
What was the reaction with the people around you?
People were highly confused and thought that the alcohol had already gotten to them. And they saw the stage started to turn. There was no intro. It was super cool, all black.
And they're like, that's not Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah, they turn and the lights come on. And there's this awesome row of like 16-year-old girls in front of me, and they all have their cameras. And they're all kind of looking at each other for confirmation. They're confused, and they start singing, and they realize it's Brandon from The Killers. And they look at me, and they see that I have a working pass, and they're freaking out. They're like, they're not supposed to be here. They don't understand what's going on. And I look at them, I go, it's a surprise. Surprise! And then they freak out and they started running to the stage and taking pictures. The place just went nuts. People were pouring back in from the bars.
It really did. And they were good.
Oh, yeah, they're terrific.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I love the Killers. They're my favorite band.
Was he there?
I should be there.
No, he so wanted to be there, though.
He so wanted to be there because he loves the Killers.
By the way, King of Mexico was in rare form over the weekend. I don't know if you saw him on Saturday night, but he had a members only jacket.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
A Spice Girls t-shirt.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And Paramore fingerless gloves.
But he also had our friend there purchase him a Paramore shirt from Hot Topic so he could change t-shirts during the night. He was like Beyonce doing costume changes.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
my God.
He's a strange little fella.
Oh, yeah.
So the King of Mexico and I have a love triangle with Haley from Paramore, of course.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you guys are kind of fighting
Dave
for her, right?
Dave was stalking her, by the way.
So we literally stalk her. We go back into their dressing room area.
How hot was she Saturday night, by the way? Boy, did she rock star it up.
Yeah,
way hot.
Real good.
Okay, ew, Mike.
So Dave and I are going to get a picture with her, and we're going to ask her point blank who she wants.
Because it has to be one of you two.
Yeah, clearly.
Wait, she doesn't have a choice. Nope. She has to have one of you?
Literally gun to her head. You have to have one.
And so we go back there, and I go to open my mouth and talk and ask her questions. And she, without saying anything, looks at Dave and goes, "Oh, my God, I love your shirt. That Spice Girl shirt is so amazing." And he goes, "And I'm wearing your gloves." And she, her head almost exploded. And I was like, "Oh, man, you won her over."
He won.
You have to see the photo we're going to put up later on Kerrock.com of Haley in between Dave and Mike. And she looks so scared.
Of course.
And the two of them are like, thumbs up. Like, we rule.
Of course.
Dude,
but
so
I work with them, and I'm scared to be in a room with them.
I felt so bad for her.
But the King of Mexico did bring the absinthe that he stole.
Oh,
He was carrying it around in a bag all night.
No, yes. He had it wrapped like his little baby in a towel in his OC messenger bag.
Yes.
And then he brought it to the hotel, and he mixed it with water, and he was trying to get one of our program directors drunk off of it, and it was not good. It was so
the
nasty.
Absinthe was not good?
It was so nasty, I would just rather get drunk off old-fashioned
alcohol.
It's
just jet fuel is what it is.
It's really nasty.
Yeah. It's horrible taste.
It is horrible. Yeah. One of the managers of the radio station was there, and Dave, who really has a good instinct for this, he was sitting all the way across the lobby, and he saw him kind of stumbling through the lobby, you know, just kind of tipping back and forth. He's like, "Dude, I'm so giving him absinthe," that he ran over there and he started giving it to him. And he told me last night, the manager of the radio station, that he had the worst hangover ever. His headache was killing him. I don't know why Dave gave me that, but wow, it really ruined me.
And we told him that. We're like, "You're not going to remember tonight, and tomorrow's going to be miserable."
Yeah.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
We saw – Kevin and I were backstage for a minute. We saw the dude from Disturbed with the hottest chick in the world ever, by the way. Yeah. I don't know if you saw her or not, Mike. Unbelievably hot. Yeah.
Here's what I like about Bean, though. Bean is not – subtle.
What?
No. Well, at one point, Bean was talking to Adrian from No Doubt and his lovely wife, and I started to see him get inappropriate, and I went over.
Of course.
I was not getting inappropriate.
And I was like, "Adrian, do you need me to pull Bean away from you? I want to apologize right now."
Of course.
Adrian told me last night, by the way, they've got a lot of tracks laid down for the next No Doubt album, and he said, this was really interesting, and I know it's off topic, and we're going to get to your calls if you have a review or anything you want to tell us at 1-800-520-1067 1 second. But he said, "I got to tell you that I was kind of bummed out at first when Gwen went off and did all the solo stuff because I missed, you know, I missed the band." He said, "But after we were down, you know, had some downtime for a while, I realized how great it was and how much I enjoyed it because we had been nonstop for 17 years.
Yeah.
We almost never took a break.
They were like Metallica for
a while." And he said it's really been great. And of course, a bunch of them have kids now. He says it's really been great to just be the dad and play golf and hang out and stuff. And now that I'm back into it in the studio again, I'm loving it. It's
so
much fun. And I said, "But what about Gwen? She's not going to have had that time off because she's been out touring the world and put out two albums since your last one." I said, "Is she going to like be frazzled?" And he's like, "She never stops. She's a hummingbird, man. She just is a workaholic.
Wow.
She's never happy unless she's got 20 things going on." So he said it's just a perfect combination. They're all rested and relaxed, and she's ready to go. So no New Doubt in 2008 is super good news.
That's awesome.
Let's say good morning to Ashley in Corona. Hi, Ashley.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Which night did you go to?
I was there night one.
Night one. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, night one, front and center in the pit, and Linkin Park totally rocked it. Yeah.
They were great.
How unbelievable were they?
They were amazing, absolutely. And at the end of it, I actually yelled up to Chester to grab me a pick, and he came down and personally put it in my hand. So that was probably the most exciting part of it all.
You touched him. Oh, my God, touched him.
He's one of the coolest guys in the world, Chester. And I think one of the best rock voices.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing. He's great. Amazing singer.
Were you in the pit during Avenged Sevenfold when the hot strippers came out and money was flying everywhere?
Yeah, I remember the money.
Yeah.
Wow. You know that wasn't money, though, right?
I mean, no, I know.
Not real cash.
Oh, damn it.
I talked to Chester a little bit backstage before they went on, and he was just in such a good mood because that was their last gig. You know, that was the end of the big 2007 they'd had. And he was just really looking forward to going out there and just giving it all because he didn't have to save any of it up for tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. Both him, and I love the part, too, when him and Mike came down into the crowd, and Mike was actually right above us the whole time. So it was great. Yeah.
You know, we get some heat from some people each year that we have the show in such a small venue. But isn't that what makes the Acoustic Christmas show so great? To see Linkin Park and as close as you were, you know, I mean, to be able to be there and enjoy that, I mean.
Dude, talk about Muse.
Yeah.
Muse in the UK doesn't play a show for less than 15,000 people.
I mean,
to see them in a venue like that is great.
Yeah, and I don't think it should be any other way because I've gone to shows at the Staples Center and sat at the top and you're staring at ants the whole time, you know? So if you're sitting at the top and at the Gibson, you're still able to see everything.
Why
so,
would you pay money drive to the Staples Center to see ants on stage? That doesn't make any sense. That's just weird.
Just saying they were small.
Well, I'm glad you had a great time and I'm glad you called.
Thanks, and thanks for the tickets because I won them from you guys.
Oh, fantastic.
I really appreciate it.
Good times.
Silver Sun pickups were great. The Shins were great. I mean, it was a really good weekend.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Stupid Alex, though, dragged me away from the fight. We had the fight on Saturday.
Well, some of these bands were not going to introduce themselves, guys. But I got to say, we brought out Fake Bean on Saturday.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys know.
Stand up, Fake Bean.
Yeah, cardboard cutout. And Fake Bean, overall, way more popular than Real Bean.
Oh, no question.
In the pip, everyone was trying to take pictures with Fake Bean. Didn't want to leave. It was awesome.
There's going
to
be some photos up a little bit later, too, of Fake Bean having a great time.
Fake Bean, you know, Dave, myself, Mike, we kind of took him around this weekend, and Fake Bean partied hard.
Did I have a good time?
I'm sore. That's all I'm saying.
No! All right, then. We'll end on that.
Speaking of Muse, by the way, as we just were, headliners last night at night number two, the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. The best of both shows will be on the radio tonight on K-Rock. I think 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock tonight. So if you weren't able to listen or you weren't there, you can catch it tonight here on the world-famous K-Rock at 6:54. Adrienne Curry from Playboy and America's Next Top Model on the way. She'll be in here later on. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Is it good when you're physically sore from drinking?
You mean your mouth and your throat hurts?
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, my knees hurt and my lower back is aching and my neck is stiff.
Yes, I think that's a positive.
How much did you drink last
night,
Ralph?
When you party so hard that your body starts to just fail on you, your joints start to swell up and stuff, is that a good thing?
Your body's going on strike. It's tired of it.
It's marching.
Can't take it anymore.
There's little picketers inside my head right now.
I want to hear what you drank last night.
Well, it wasn't just last night, because I went to
Vegas. Oh, you had a big weekend.
I went to Vegas for the Mayweather-Hatton fight. And so Friday afternoon, I get to Vegas and start, cocktailing just to take the edge off. And that goes into dawn.
Because it's so
the next
stressful
day
to go to Vegas.
It is. It's a lot of stuff going on, bells ringing and people walking around and talking. It's very stressful. And then, Saturday you get up and you need a Bloody Mary to take the edge off.
Or 10.
Or 10. Mm-hmm. And then you drink all the way through and then the fight and then drinking and then gambling and drinking. And then get on the plane early, afternoon on Sunday, fly back, go to Acoustic Christmas last night, drink.
Continue. Yeah.
So it's just my body hates me.
Yeah.
And rightly so. I think Ricky Hatton feels better today
than
I do.
Could be. He got knocked out.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Oh, Team Britney's back on my ass, by the way.
Oh, good.
About what?
I love them.
Because stealing is just like every mom does that once in
a
while.
No, because I'm spreading the lies again that she stole a lighter.
Oh, because they know that's not true.
She says, look, this is Jesse again from Team Britney.
Okay.
My friend Jesse. Remember who?
Yeah, of course.
She said, look at the video closely. You can tell she pulls out too much money for just gum. She obviously paid for the lighter and then took it, rightly. And everyone's just saying it because they want their 15 minutes of fame. They're just trying to get some fame off of her.
The store owner on TMZ is saying
so it. I send her the clip of Chevron owner Jatinder Kaur.
Right.
Saying to People Magazine, yes, Britney stole a blue lighter here last night.
Uh-huh.
Blah, blah, blah. He goes on for a paragraph talking about how he's not going to file a police report. So I sent her that. I said, look, the owner said she stole. Jess from Team Britney writes back, I highly doubt his ass was even there that night.
What? Wow.
F you, you effing bitch.
If she would have stolen it, the employee working there would have said something when she grabbed it. He is just trying to get his 5 seconds of fame like everyone else. Honestly, do you believe everything you read? Why don't you look at the whole picture instead of being yet another person who finds yet another reason to bash her?
Britney Spears. What about her?
This girl needs to go into PR.
Yeah,
she
you're
would
right.
Be amazing.
She needs to go into therapy.
She needs to go into puppy
yes,
lake.
But, I mean, if she's going to make money off of this problem she has, she would be great at denying everything about any
so
celebrity.
So the owner goes on the record saying she stole it.
Right.
Don't believe him. Just believe a vague potential something I saw in the video almost that may indicate that maybe she paid for it. That's what I'm putting my faith in.
But didn't Britney say?
She said she was being sarcastic. She was just being funny. It was just a joke.
Okay. Hey, Jesse, kill yourself.
Team Britney.
Hey, Jesse, man never landed on the moon and the Holocaust didn't happen.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I hate Jesse and Team Britney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse, if you're listening and you want to call in and be berated again, feel free. Because you're an idiot. Let's talk about the weekend's hot movies, the box office, shall we? The Golden Compass pointed to solid gold, baby.
Hey!
$26 million it made this weekend in its debut, followed by Enchanted at number two.
I've not heard great things about The Golden Compass, by the way.
I have not either.
Yeah.
But if you make a fantasy film these days, you're guaranteed a certain
people
audience,
will go.
And this looks good. They have a good cast.
You get your Harry Potter, Rings, Lord of the Ring type folks who just love this Narnia people. They just show up for this kind of thing.
Yep.
I said to Dave, I said, oh, are you going to see Golden Compass? It looks good. I said, I don't know, Dave. Kind of looks just like a Narnia light. Then I'm going because I love Narnia. So I'm going to go to this too. So you get like the Dave Sanchez's of the world going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Enchanted was number two, as I mentioned. This Christmas, number three. Fred Claus came in at number four. Beowulf, number 5. Beowulf.
Beowulf.
No Country for Old Men was number 6. At number 7 was August Rush. Number 8, Hitman Awake. In its debut, the Jessica Alba Hayden Christensen drama came in at number 9, making just $3 million in its debut weekend.
Ouch. Is that good?
Not so much.
No.
And B-movie, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Bad, bad news. Friday, talks broke off yet again between the writers and the producers in this long writer's strike. There's no telling if either side will come back to the bargaining table anytime soon. The Writers Guild says the breakdown in negotiations is the producers' fault, of course.
And what did the producers say?
It's the writers' fault,
oh,
of course.
The writers claim the producers dumped several key proposals that the writers were presenting and then walked out while the writers were trying to develop another counteroffer. One WGA member called it fake negotiations in Daily Variety newspaper.
Just so they don't look bad, don't lose face?
Yeah. So, looks like we're going to get a lot more reality TV and a lot of reruns before this is all over. American Idol, though, comes back in January. Imagine American Idol, which is always a ratings juggernaut against regular TV schedules.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when everyone else is in reruns and the show comes back on the air? 99% of America will be watching.
Yeah,
it's
just my nightmare.
It is, Kevin. This is your worst.
I heard one of the guys who works on Desperate Housewives on the news this morning who said that on his show alone, there are over 300 people out of work just on that one TV show because of this writer's strike.
I met some folks last night at Acoustic Christmas who work on CSI Miami who said, yeah, we're done.
Wow.
That's Tuesday. We finished up. We don't know when we're going back to work.
Dude.
So
it's rough.
It's a rough holiday season for people working on TV. Some WGA chats, by the way. I want to thank, JC for sending me these. You know, Fremantle, they're producers, they do a lot of reality television, but they also do some scripted stuff as well. Fremantle, you're no good. Treat your writers like you should.
Okay.
Yeah.
So wow. Leaves this reviewer cold.
Outside CBS, you know, where they do The Price is Right,
right,
as well as other shows. Hey, you all, come on down. Hollywood is a union town.
God.
Yeah, not so much.
They should get the writers to do those for them.
They can't, though.
Oh, that's right. They can't write. Yeah.
In shows that aren't written, wink, wink, Lauren Conrad of The Hills gives us a tease of what's coming on the show's season finale tonight. She told People magazine that viewers will see her make a big decision that she calls very exciting and life-changing.
Okay.
I'm thinking labiaplasty. That's my guess.
Cool.
We'll have to wait and see. She gets everything just ratcheted up a bit. Ratchet. Brad Pitt's pissed off at Larry King.
Why?
Uh-oh. They just did that hour together. It was nothing but softballs. How can Brad complain about that?
Well, according to E! Online, Brad Pitt feels that Larry insinuated that he cheated on his then-wife Jennifer Aniston with co-star Angelina Jolie when they were making Mr. and Mrs. Smith together.
Larry's not coherent enough to insinuate anything.
So when he was questioning about the timing of the affair with Angelina Jolie, Brad thinks that Larry was trying to sneak in the fact that maybe he was cheating, and he's furious about it.
I think Larry was asking questions about the timeline, and Brad answered them, and that's the end of it. That's what I think. I saw the interview.
We have a little taste of Larry. No, we don't have a taste
not
of Larry.
Not that one, no.
Brad, no, we don't. But so that's a bad sign.
Okay, explain the pink.
Yeah, that's what he asked her, and I think that was out of line. Completely out of line. Today's celebrity birthdays, Emmanuel Siriki.
Yeah.
She plays Sloan on Entourage. She's a hottie. She's 30 years old today. Kenneth Branagh.
Why doesn't that guy work more? For a while, he was making 3 or 4 movies a year, and then now almost never do you see him.
I think he's got another Shakespeare movie coming out soon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, he needs to stop with that. He needs to do something people want to see.
Yeah, you're right. That's Shakespeare. He's never going to catch on.
Because I have.
Yeah.
No, I loved his Much Ado About Nothing, and I loved his Henry V, but he's great in any kind of movie. I just wanted to see him work more. The dude's awesome.
Yeah.
You know who we're talking about, Kevin? Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah.
Redheaded British guy.
I don't think I've ever seen any of those movies, but
he did a great movie called Dead Again with his then-wife Emma Thompson,
That
by
you
the
probably
way.
Saw.
Oh.
Really good. Robin Williams. Believe it or not, Robin Williams is actually good in something.
Yeah.
47 years old today. By the way, if speaking of this guy, if you get a chance, there's a movie called Peter's Friends.
Yeah. Peter's Friends.
Which is sort of like the British Big Chill. It's about a bunch of friends who went to college together who get back together at a country home for
Never
the weekend.
Heard of it. It's awesome.
Hugh Laurie's also in it. Emma Thompson. A real great cast. Very, very entertaining. Check that out. He's 47 years old today. Michael Clark Duncan from The Green Mile and from many other motion pictures turns 50 years old today. I think he should play Barry Bonds in the new movie they're making about Book of Shadows.
Barry Bonds after steroids.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get like Gary Coleman to play him pre-steroids. And then the post-steroid era, you get Michael Clark Duncan just swinging the bat up there.
It's a great idea.
Giant freaking basketball-sized head. He's 50 years old today. Pard?
Huh? Another round for Mr. Garvin, please.
I was going to say Pard Hallcastle, but that's not his name at all.
No.
His name is Paul Hardcastle. That'd be more closer to his name.
He did that. He did the strangest song ever.
You mean the greatest song ever?
Yes.
19?
Yes.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. It was different in many ways.
Right.
And so were those who did the fighting.
Uh-huh.
In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26.
Right.
In Vietnam, yes. He was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
Dude. How many guys take a documentary and put it to a rave band?
And people danced to this. This was a big hit in the clubs back in the day.
Let's dance to 19.
Let's party about that song about the young kids dying in war.
Hilarious Vietnam dance tune. Paul's 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Would you say you're wandering aimlessly? Or you have an end game for that hair.
Oh, come on.
Like, what is the goal?
Are you heading for a goal of some... What's the...
That is some pointless hair right there.
it's pointless hair, isn't it?
It's bad, and it's infinitely better than it was Friday night. When he first showed up, Saturday night, when he first showed up for night one of Acoustic Christmas.
There's any difference.
No, it was shockingly bad. You look like Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. It was like purposely bad.
What? He had like the Peter Torque monkey
do? It was totally hard.
Rodney cut.
Weird.
Oh.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
What's with Bean's hair?
It's mugshot hair is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like pick any celebrity, Mickey Rourke or Nick Nolte, any of those guys who get just hammered and get hauled into jail when they snap the mugshot, that's what their hair usually looks like.
I just want to know if you have something in your mind that you're going for.
Guys, let's not talk about this. This is not interesting to anybody. Why?
Jed said your hair looked bad. That's how bad your hair is. That's how bad it is.
Bean came down for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas over the weekend.
What's with Bean's hair?
It's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
And that means he had to interact with people. And that always goes poorly.
I was charming.
Always goes.
And by the way, I did wear a hat last night, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. You wore an effing hat. I didn't see Bean at all this week. The first time I saw him, he's wearing the thickest, biggest red knitted hat you've ever seen in your life.
It was like 20 pounds of yarn on his head.
It was knit from steel cable or something that they used to suspend bridges. That's how just giant it was. Big red freaking hat. I said, that is a hat.
And he was indoors most of the day.
Capital H.
That is an appropriate hat for the Great Pacific Northwest, though.
Yeah,
that's
well,
where the hat came
you were
from.
Not logging. You were at a concert.
Everybody kept calling me the brawny man, like I was the guy on the paper towels.
He looked like a gay lumberjack. That's why.
Here's what we're looking for, and not just this weekend, but any encounter that you've had with Bean, because he's not a people person.
No. How dare you? I was taking pictures with people last night and signing autographs. I was very friendly, very cordial. I don't think anybody walked away disappointed last night.
I'm sure you don't. And who's the worst judge of that than you?
They were disappointed when they walked up to you. Trust me. They didn't have to walk away disappointed.
So through the years, if you've run into Bean, 1-800-520-1067. Psycho Mike, if you tell your story, can you do it in less than like 20 minutes?
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Weenie Roast, 2 years ago, I brought a friend of mine who's a huge fan of the show. He listens every day, and he was really excited to meet Kevin and Bean. So I introduced him to Kevin. Kevin talks to him for a little bit. Hey, how you doing? And I see Bean coming along. I said, hey, there's Bean. Let's go talk to him. So I introduced my friend. I said, this is John Bean. He's a huge fan of the show. And Bean goes, you do great work, shakes his hand, and walks away.
And then we had Miss Double D contestant Irene.
Yeah. Boy, those phones are sure lighting up, but I bet a lot of them are calling to say good things.
Who asked Bean to sign her ass, and he said no. And he said, well, at least I was nice about it. And she said, nope, not really.
Guys, I just broken up with my boyfriend. I was looking for some solace, just trying to party, have a good time, and you just blew me off.
Then there was Thrice.
That's the greatest story ever.
The best ever.
Second best greatest story ever. As far as Bean interaction, we were in Vegas at the Hard Rock at the pool with a singles party, and a guy walked up to Bean, very sincere. And, you know, this is a guy who put his whole life into making this music, hands him a CD.
I'm in a band.
And by the time he got the word, you know, the letters BA and band out, Bean had grabbed the CD and tossed it in the pool.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So this is our CD. We just cut all these tracks. Could you give a list? And it was gone in the air in the bottom of the pool.
Now, in his defense, he does that stuff for comedy. But if you're the guy handing him the CD, it's not so funny for you.
But that band, as you mentioned earlier, turned out to be Thrice, who has appeared at Acoustic
Ended
Christmas.
Ended up on Weezer. Yeah. Yeah. 6 months later, they're on the bill.
Yeah. So
with their new song "F.U. Bean,"
how smart is that guy?
But the worst Bean moment ever was when we were doing a CD signing.
We don't have time. We don't really have time.
Do.
Come on, we got to go.
This
we got stuff.
Brutal.
And there was a woman that walked up, and
sorry, we're out of time.
Was the kid with her or not?
No.
She had a photo of her kid, her son, and wanted us to sign for whatever he was sick or whatever.
Oh God!
And Bean, without looking up, and really, I mean, he doesn't mean this, but it's just his way of being funny. 90% of the time, it is really funny. 10% of the time, it's cringeworthy. This moment, she said, oh, my son's sick. Just let him die, is what Bean said.
Oh, my God.
Just let him die.
The kid had 3 heart surgeries.
Yeah.
She said he's in the hospital. This is a present for him. This
Your
CD
show
makes him feel better.
Makes him feel better.
Now, this is
laugh.
His mom who's
she. She, in my defense, clearly
There's
she was
no
trying. She was trying too hard to keep that little kid alive. Right? 3 heart surgeries. Come on. At some
saying?
Point, you just got to say God doesn't like the kid.
Who's with me? No one. So if you've had an interaction with Bean.
We're sorry, first of all.
We're sorry. And second of all, we need to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067, whether it be a CD signing or acoustic or whatever, because, you know, we'd like to apologize on a person-by-person basis.
Guy came up to me at Amoeba Records on Friday night and said, hey, Bean, big fan of the blog. I shook his hand. We had a moment. I walked out. He was happy. I was happy.
See, here's the thing, though. You have Asperger's. You don't know when other people are happy or upset or insulted
when
or anything
Bean
else.
When Bean turns his back on someone, he thinks that's a moment.
Yeah.
He thinks they shared a moment when he turns his back and walks away.
I mean, I was running away from the guy as fast as I could, but I think it was a nice smile. I don't think he's a guy, for instance, who would say, I met Bean and he was a dick.
He would say,
I was cordial. You know?
We know you don't, but you don't know the wake that you leave behind you. I've spent my entire life since I met Bean walking around behind him going, he didn't mean it. Yeah. Joke. No,
you
he didn't
exaggerate.
I exaggerate.
You're picking up the bodies behind him.
That's what happens.
Let's talk to Andrew before the break, and then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
See, Bean thinks that hair is acceptable.
Yeah, no.
So how does he think a social interaction goes?
If you've met me and you found me to be warm and personable and delightful, we'd like to hear from you this morning on K-Rock.
Or anything else.
Yes.
Either way.
Andrew,
yeah.
for instance, big fan.
Andrew, hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good.
What happened with Bean?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I went to Acoustic Christmas about 3 years ago, and I brought the Christmas CD from the year before, your grass Christmas CD. I was trying to get every year have it. And me and my sister walked up to Bean. He was walking around, and we asked him to autograph it because he was in the audience or whatever. And he refused to, saying that it was irrelevant for him to sign it because it was from the year before.
Oh, that's just not true. It did not happen.
He didn't make this up.
It absolutely sounds like you. That absolutely sounds like you.
There's a lot of people who pretend to be people, and that didn't happen.
Wouldn't do that.
It definitely happened, but it didn't really ruin my evening. I actually thought it was pretty funny.
You're the man.
But it wasn't me, though. I mean,
so
it was some guy.
This is from last year. This is irrelevant. That's
irrelevant.
This is from last year. I'm not going to sign it. It's irrelevant.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right. Andrew, you sit on a throne of lies, but thank you for the call.
If you want to go just with the smell test, does it seem like
the kind of thing you would do?
100%.
Absolutely.
100%.
I always sign stuff for the people.
Yeah, sure you do. Craig in Yorba Linda. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I was at Cal State when No Doubt played a free show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Way back when, and I was backstage with you guys. Didn't need somebody to go up on stage to drink their own pee once. Well, anyway.
Yeah, that's a anyway. Great show for you right there.
Well, I was the guy. Well, I went back there with my
Never
camera.
Been more proud.
I went back there with my camera, and I got pictures of me and Jimmy Kimmel and Kevin.
Yeah.
And I asked Bean, hey, Bean, can I get a picture? And he's all, no. And he walked away.
Oh, come on.
See, that's the thing about Bean is...
I got pictures of Kevin and me and Jimmy Kimmel and everybody, but not Bean.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel, I mean, of course he's going to
make fun of him. This is about you saying no one being a dick.
I'm not making fun of him.
Yes, you are.
Jimmy Kimmel was very nice to pose for a photo. That's all.
No, and he walked away.
Dick.
That doesn't sound like me either.
It absolutely sounds like
you. Look, if you're going to put plants on the phone to make stuff up,
that's what we're doing. These are people. They're not plants, for God's sakes. Plants can't even talk.
All right, we need to take a break, but we're going to come back with your interactions with Bean.
Oh, we're done with that.
So that we can apologize to every one of you personally.
The phone lines are jammed, by the way.
Come on. Yeah. So we'll take your calls when we get
back. Bean, I fucking hate you, dude. I just fucking hate you. I despise you. Everything you do, everything you say, your politics.
Yeah. Your fucking homeliness. I hate you, dude.
What is that?
If I was given one chance in the world to do something that I'd want, it'd be to kick the out of you.
Wow.
You know the hate I have for you? I go home complaining about you. My fiance said, why do you hate that guy so much? I said, we listen to the show.
Yeah.
He's such a freaking moron. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Try working with him.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, unfortunately, 106.7 KROQ. For some reason, the guys thought it would be funny to do Encounters with Bean
Not
today.
Not funny, a necessary evil. We have to apologize to people as you destroy
right,
them.
Right.
All right, let's talk. It's like Larry Craig's lovers stepping forward, you know? It's like, you got to tell the truth about the senator. That's what we're doing.
Let's talk to Crystal in Covina. She's on line five. I think she had a very pleasant encounter with me in public.
Hey, Crystal.
What's going on, guys?
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so this was at the Bring Your Ex Christmas or singles party at the Playboy Mansion.
Okay. Yes. All right.
And I had ran into some girls and, you know, girls and alcohol.
Sure.
So we decided to take pictures with Kevin and Bean, and Bean grabbed my ass.
No.
What?
That's serious.
Okay,
I have the picture to prove it.
Now, you know, really?
Send it.
Someone take a picture of your ass?
Would you please send it to me?
Yeah, because generally speaking, Bean threatens to do it, but he doesn't really grab
body parts.
I remember
we were saying in the last break, we're like, it smells like truth or not truth. That one, there's no way. Bean's the most asexual person ever.
He's all talk. Serious.
Nope. Okay, Crystal.
If you were a hairless boy from High School Musical, then maybe I could see him doing that. But he doesn't do it with women much.
Now, when you say you have a picture, Crystal, you have a picture with Bean's hand on your ass?
Yes, well, like, kind of on the side, but after when we were done taking the picture, it kind of, like, rubbed over the butt cheek a little bit.
Yeah, see, wow. I don't do that. I don't assault. That's not me.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
What? I'm just saying that's not
you
me.
You don't assault?
I don't assault.
Do I need to remind you of last night?
What happened last night?
When we were waiting to make the announcement for the band?
Oh, right.
What
are
you guys talking about?
Standing there.
The assault!
Waiting to announce
that wasn't
Modest
assault.
Mouse, and you assaulted one of your coworkers.
I most certainly did not.
Do we need to bring in the victim of the assault?
Listen, Crystal, I believe you. Bean's bad. And we apologize for that.
Now Crystal's making stuff up. So it's not bad enough. You guys are making stuff up. Now the listeners are jumping on board.
Yeah, we're making up stuff like you guys make up moments with me, by the way. There's no possible way that you're actually
all
making them up.
What about Amy and your Belinda? What about Amy? Another positive encounter with Bean. How about that?
Happy customer?
Yeah.
Hey, Amy.
Amy,
hi.
Help me out here.
Well, I actually have a good story for Bean.
Wow.
See?
And it's about 10 years ago, I went to a singles party, and I brought one of my roommates. And she's like, she was the geekiest, just dorkiest roommate ever. I mean, I didn't like her, but, you know, I sleep room. But so I brought her because she was just pitifully sad and single. So I brought her along with me. And she actually latched herself on a Bean and talked to him the whole night. And for the next week, wouldn't shut up about Bean.
Okay.
Bean does seek out the socially retarded like himself.
I live on the island of misfit toys. I mean, that's kind of my that's my people right there.
He has no social skills. That's the point. So if he finds somebody else with no social skills, he's fine with that.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Was she kind of hot at all, by the way?
Oh, not at all. Yeah.
So I was nice to an ugly chick. I'd like to get some sort of points
you
today.
You don't know the difference.
I was nice to an ugly chick. I can't be all bad.
All right. Thank you
Thank you,
call.
Amy. That's I appreciate
positive,
the call very much.
Positive interaction.
I think we have someone here to talk about the molestation.
Actually, we don't have time. We don't have time for that.
We have time.
You were the one mouthing off
about molestation.
There was no molestation going on.
It is assistant producer Alex.
I have scars on my hand. Because we were standing waiting to introduce Modest Mouse.
Yes, Alex.
And it was dark, and Bean saw fit to rape me.
There was no rape?
We're standing there, and Bean's behind me, and everyone knows Bean's tall and big, so his hands are right at my breastises level.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like these hands creeping around my boobs, and I'm suddenly getting, like, you know, protection mode, and I go down with my elbows trying to stop him.
Yeah.
And his nails claw me. I'm scarred here on my right hand and my middle finger.
It's true.
Scarred me.
Why all the stories?
I'm an assault.
Why
he
make
said
up
that.
Stuff?
I was wrestling you to the ground
all
right
I know
before
is
the
it, all I know is it was dark and I could hear Alex say, stop it. Yeah. Stop it. That I know.
You're a f***ing asshole. Yeah. I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald, you f***ing freak.
Yeah.
When we get the rape kit back from the hospital, by the way, Bean's going away. CSI's done with it.
If it's possible, because we don't have time. For a blanket apology on behalf of the Kevin and Bean Show and K-Rock and all right-thinking
people. Certainly not necessary, but
because
I mean, if you want to put it out
I'm
there.
I'm sure that Bean has offended many, many of
and
you.
And by offending, you mean made their lives
and
brighter.
We don't...
We apologize.
We don't doubt you. We know it's true. We apologize. We're
please,
sorry.
Please don't sue.
You enjoyed the happy moment, as did I. Thank you. The January 2008 edition of Playboy magazine is on newsstands now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Adrienne Curry right there on the cover, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Yes, it is.
She is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour in the studios of World Famous Curry.
I hope so.
Curry for dessert is what Playboy says about her article.
Mm-hmm.
We're very pleased with that. Anyway, that's coming up. Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and he's also going to have tickets for Walk Hard, which is
looks
like a very funny movie opening up soon, so we'll have those coming up. But, Ralph, you had a hell of a weekend.
I sure did. Friday afternoon, the wife and I jetted off to Las Vegas to catch the Mayweather-Hatton fight. And I have never been to a championship fight before. I've been to a lot of boxing matches, but never been to a one of this hype and caliber and size. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most amazing events I've ever attended. Just in sheer scope and energy, once you get down there and the clock starts kicking down to the main event, it was amazing. And
You were in a Rocky movie?
MGM?
Really, it was exactly what it was like. It was at the MGM Grand. They did it in their Garden Arena there. And the entire city was just overrun with about 30,000 Brits who had flown over from England to be there for the event. Only about a third of which had tickets for the actual fight.
Right.
The rest of them were just drunken in every casino and every place. Every casino was had their own closed circuit event, so you could go to a ballroom or whatever for $50 and you could watch the show in closed circuit.
Right.
And they were just everywhere. It was like being in London, in Vegas, all weekend long. It's all you heard was British accents everywhere.
Which you love, by the way.
Which I love, yeah. Sure. I was amongst my folks. Yeah.
Now, Hatton is, he was undefeated going in, as was Mayweather, right? That's why one of the reasons why this fight was such a big deal.
And Hatton in England is like Beckham. He is that level of star over there. And they treat him like a god. And it was amazing to witness the passion that these fans brought with them to Vegas.
But here's what's interesting. Mayweather is a Vegas dude.
He's a hometown
boy. He lives in Vegas, right?
And
yet the crowd was all Hatton.
You would have thought we were watching the fight in Manchester. It was just that much passion. There were guys in the nosebleed section of the Garden Arena who had brought their own brass band instruments. Trumpets and trombones and a big bass drum, and they were playing the fight songs that they all somehow knew the words to, singing along to all these songs about Ricky Hatton.
Wow.
Throughout all the way up to leading up to the fight, and then through the fight, too. Even in the middle of a round, you'd hear in the back, like a small marching band coming from the rafters. It was bizarre.
But now, a lot of celebrities ringside, I imagine?
It was really cool, yeah. First of all, on the flight over, wife and I are sitting on Southwest Airlines, you know, where we got our A passes, so we were thrilled.
Sure.
By the way, I've seen the new way that they put you on Southwest. They've got a new system now with numbers now. Yeah, it's madness. Everyone's just more furious now than they were before.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and up the aisle walks Hugh Laurie.
On your plane?
On my plane.
Oh, my God.
You were so happy.
You know, he's my hero.
He's your number one man crush of all time.
So my wife's like, it's Hugh Laurie. And I had met Hugh a couple times because he works out of the same boxing gym that I do. He's a big boxing fan, and he likes to work out.
He's got that limp, so he can't really fight.
It's just on the show.
Back to you.
So I said, it's Ralph, from Shadow Boxing, and was where we work out. And he said, oh, yeah, how's it going? And I said, you going to the fight? And he said, absolutely, Ricky Hatton. And he walked past. So that was like just the first sighting. And then when we got to the actual event, Will Ferrell says hi to everybody. Will was there.
Okay.
And Will and I know each other a little bit. And he said, are you a fan of the fight game? And I said, yes, Will, that's why I'm here, because I really want to see this fight. He goes, I have to be honest, I have no idea what's going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he being funny or
he really didn't. I said, root for the British guy, because a lot of drunk, angry British people will be upset if you don't. So it was fun to see him. But everybody was Sugar Ray Leonard was near us, Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis.
Stallone's tiny, isn't he?
He's about 5'7", 5'8". Yeah, big guy. Yeah,
he's strong, but you would think he would be monstrous from watching him on these movies.
Yeah.
He's not.
You have to just feel like you're in a Rocky movie, though. Everything you're describing sounds exactly like the energy that they bring on the screen as you're leading up to that big battle.
And if you're watching any of the 24/7 TV series that HBO was putting on leading up to this, they do 4 weeks of sort of behind-the-scenes documentary-style coverage of the training. It was really setting it up to be that. I mean, you had the brash, arrogant black champion as Mayweather, and then you had the scrappy club fighter, in this case from England, which was Hatton, and everybody in the place was just pulling for Hatton because everybody wanted to see the big upset.
Yeah. Denzel?
Denzel was there.
Of course.
Place
always.
Blew up when he was there.
Sure.
Charles Barkley was sitting close to me.
That's so weird.
And Barkley, growing up in Philadelphia, he was a huge star for the Sixers for so many years. Yeah. So I was excited to see him. And I was like, Charles, how you doing? I was this close. I was on the end. I was on the aisle. He walked past. I was yelling into his ear, Charles, hey, how's it going? Didn't even acknowledge. Didn't look. Just beelined right past me.
He did the right thing.
Wayne Newton was sitting near us.
Fantastic.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
He's Mr. Las Vegas.
His face isn't.
About that.
But he was sitting near us, and I said, that's weird. Wayne knew, oh, I guess it's Vegas. You can see why he'd be at a fight. But it wasn't nearly as weird moments later when he was in the ring holding up one of Mayweather's belts in his corner.
Why was he doing that?
What's Wayne Newton doing in Mayweather's corner? I said, I don't know. Maybe he's a trainer. He's the cut man or something.
Yeah, that's him. He's a cut man.
He knows so much about, you know, faces with that plastic surgery. Maybe he knows how to stop some bleeding or something.
Mayweather's the only black guy who knows who Wayne Newton is then.
Yeah, that's for sure. But Tom Jones came out and sang the God Save the Queen, the national anthem of England.
Right.
The place just erupted. And then Tyrese came out and sang our national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And the only bummer of the night was...
Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. The only bummer of the night was that the Brits were so pro-British that they sort of booed when the national anthem for America was being sung.
F them, then.
And I was like, that's not cool, guys. I mean, that ain't cool. So I kicked some British ass.
What about Bex and Posh?
Well, Posh was playing next door. The Spice Girls were in town performing in concert on Saturday night.
How convenient.
Oh.
And Beckham came to the fight. So his wife's performing literally next door, and he was in the right place, and he came in. But when he walked in, it was like the Pope had arrived. Everybody was on their feet and screaming,
sure.
And he had just a massive squad of security trying to get him through. But for those for the Brits, you know, Beckham is about as big as it gets.
Right. He played for their national team like in three different World Cups or something.
They were just thrilled when he walked in. And the brass band kicked up. And they started playing all the Beckham songs that everyone knew the words to. It was very weird.
Wow. Isn't that weird that they have little songs that they've created about all the celebrities and everybody knows them?
Absolutely.
I guess they just sing them at all the stadiums.
Yeah.
Right?
It was like a big soccer match. It had that sort of hooligan energy to it.
We got the fight backstage at Acoustic Christmas, and we were in the room watching it. And I really wanted to see Bad Religion because they're always great.
And they were great again.
Yeah. But they were right on during the fight. So I was watching it, and assistant producer Alex came in. She's like, you guys got to go. We got to do the next onstage. I was like, are you out of your mind? It was round 8 or round 9, like really close. So finally they said, you have to go. So I left the room. I went out. We did the introduction. We were waiting on the stairs. And Dave, the King of Mexico, who was also watching it, got a text. Hadden just got knocked down.
Oh, you missed it?
Yeah. So then I was like, oh, you're kidding. And then he goes, Hadden just got back up. And then we were waiting, and then he goes, Hadden just went down again. I was like, you've got to be kidding. All this is happening right this second.
You said Hadden.
Hadden, right. Yeah. Now, Ralph told me last night when we were chatting about the fight that seeing it in person is makes it a little bit harder to follow, right? A little bit harder to judge and to score.
Boxing is like football or hockey. In that regard, it is amazing to be there. The event is unlike anything you've ever seen.
Right.
In terms of actual coverage, to watch a boxing match on television, I think you get a much better view of the actual fight.
And they have a bunch of different angles.
Right.
They show replays.
They've got the best coverage possible from when you're sitting. We were sitting just a little bit to the right of Mayweather's corner, actually. So we were seeing what was going on in the ring. But if a fighter's got his back to you, you can't really see what's being thrown.
Right.
And the knockout happened way on the other side of the ring. So we saw what was going on. And then when he got up, we saw the towel fly in for the second time when he went down from Hatton's corner.
And
so.
Wayne Newton wasn't able to get Hatton back up, or Mayweather back up? He wasn't able to?
No, Wayne would say, stay down!
Are you hooked on it now, Ralph? Like, are you now, you can't wait for the next big fight?
My lovely wife was responsible for taking me, it was the birthday gift she got me the tickets for. But the prices of tickets to go to see a championship battle like that.
Prohibitive, shall we say?
Man. I mean, I have no idea what she paid for ours, but we had pretty good seats, but not ringside. But the people in the front row, I know, we were talking to people as we were getting into the arena, said the tickets were going for $50,000
a
piece.
Oh, my God.
For front row ringside tickets.
That's for Will Ferrell and people like that.
Yeah, right.
Have the money.
I'm sure they gave him the tickets because he didn't know why he was there.
Did you do the right thing and take out that old fart Larry Merchant?
I didn't see Larry there.
I hate
there.
That guy.
I didn't know if he was
there. He was there. He was doing his horrible interviews.
I'm surprised. Usually they're starting to ease off Larry.
Oh,
usually we got Jim
so
Lampley
bad.
And Lennox Lewis, who was also there. He was also at the fight, too.
Yeah. Larry, you stay home. We'll call you if we need you.
He had the slowest talker in the world, too, Larry Merchant.
Just wants to make
the
me take my
life. The history of boxing would tell you that a puncher versus a man with the hand speed of pretty boy Floyd Mayweather would run into trouble. Fight's over. 10th round is come and gone.
So next time you have the opportunity, please do something about that.
Take out Larry?
Yes. Put him on the undercard. Please do.
That's my plan.
Is she here yet? Is she here yet?
She
is she here
sure
yet?
Is
she here yet?
Ah!
Then, guys, then hurry up.
Guys,
then hurry the hell up.
This is going to be bad, because normally, you know.
I'm not here.
Oh, that's right.
No, it's going to be great.
All right, can we put Bean in a different studio and just have him broadcast from down the hall while Adrian's in here?
She'll run a run for her life.
I'll be fine with Miss Curry. I've met her before. It's going to be fine. It's
the good news is, if he tries any monkey business, any shenanigans, any tomfoolery, she'll just kick
his ass. Yeah, that's probably true. She can kill me just by staring me down. You're
easily.
Right. It's Carrick FM passing in Los Angeles. Monday morning, Adrian Curry from America's Next Top Model, My Fair Brady, and the new Playboy will be joining us after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
We were wondering what the connection was with Wayne Newton and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
It just dawned on me. Well, it didn't dawn on me. Mark from Irvine sent me an email saying, idiot, they were both on Dancing with the Stars together this season. That's how they became pals. Now they're dancing buddies.
Okay.
So you can see why they're connected. Two Vegas Vegas residents who dance together on Dancing with the Stars. So now we know the connection. So there you go. Before I get to the showbiz news, this is really a cool event. This is the kind of stuff I love giving away because you really won't be able to attend this any other way than winning tickets here on K-Rock. Walk Hard is coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the movie starring John C. Reilly as the fictional Dewey Cox in the Dewey Cox story, which just looks hilarious.
I've seen this already. It's way funny.
Oh, have
way
you?
Funny.
Oh, have you seen
yes,
it already?
I
well,
have.
Aren't you special?
Saw a screening
aren't you
of it.
Better than the rest of us?
No, I'm just
did
saying.
Did Linus swing those tickets for you? Get you into the very special Dewey Cox story screening?
I'm just saying it's way funny. That's what I'm saying.
By really the way, good. I met Kevin's new manny last night.
Oh,
you
did
you?
His man nanny. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have to talk about that. It's a very, very entertaining story.
Wow.
He's got his kids are like in college or something. He's still got a nanny for him.
What kind of, how much staff do you have, Kevin? And really? You even know all their names?
Hundreds. Hundreds.
He really has. They all wear tuxes and white gloves. It's very
well,
scary.
Well, Kevin probably doesn't meet them. Linus probably is the talent coordinator,
up.
I would imagine.
Talent coordinator.
They're probably instructed not to look Mr. Ryder directly in the eyes when they encounter him on the property.
When I get thirsty, I just tip my head back and open my mouth and someone has to pour water in.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not water.
I heard in the recent remodeling that Kevin now has a private entrance, so he doesn't have to walk past the servants' quarters.
Right. It's more like a pneumatic tube. Right. He gets into a capsule, and he's just shot from wherever he is through a series of like habit trail style tubes, and then boom, he just he lands in his bed. Why like Howard Hughes, he just lays there constantly all day.
Why do you people hate
when Kevin wants to see his daughters? Linus has to set up an appointment with their personal assistant.
That's not true.
They just put them up on the screen. He's got a bank of TVs in the bedroom where he stays all.
And
they, I want to see the children like. They just put up on the screen. You can look at them. Okay, I've seen it enough.
It's all over. They're still alive. I've done my job.
Gets another shot of codeine or whatever else he's being doped up on. And he just drifts back off to a sweet narcotic sleep.
Well, perhaps we can talk to the new Manny tomorrow, maybe.
I think that's a great idea. What was I talking about?
Dewey Cox.
I have no idea.
Dewey Cox. Kevin's seen Walk Hard.
I have it. It's funny.
There you go.
How
it's
did that
funny.
Turn on me
well,
so sound?
Well, to be honest, Linus saw it and told Kevin it was good.
Recreated it for
That's
him.
What happened.
Scene for scene. Dewey Cox, the fictional story of a rock and roll legend who encounters all the famous stars, too. Apparently, he runs into the Beatles and Elvis, and it's all very funny. So if you'd like to go, I don't blame you. It's going to be a very entertaining movie to watch. However, even beyond that, at our special screening, there will be a private concert with John C. Reilly himself, as he does all the Dewey Cox songs for you as part of his Cox Across America tour.
Nice.
Lisa did that in college.
All this happens Thursday, December 13th at the Arclight, which is one of my favorite theaters in the world to go see a movie. So if you'd like to go, the first 10 callers. First 10 callers. No, let's make it more interesting. The first 10 callers who know what the C stands for in John C. Reilly. How about that? You have to prove that you're a little bit of a John C. Reilly fan. The first 10 callers with the correct answer to that question get to go to see Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, and the special concert afterwards. 10 callers win a pair of tickets if you know what the C stands for in John C. Reilly.
I have a lot of guesses. I can't say any of them.
I bet you do. let's talk about show business, shall we? The writer's strike continues to go on. In fact, Friday, talks broke down, and there's no word on when they'll get it back to the negotiating table. This may not happen anytime soon, people.
Oh, that's frustrating. It was looking so good for their
It was. They were
minute.
Talking and they were going back with offers and counteroffers. One WGA member says that the producers apparently walked away from the table while the writers were actually developing another counteroffer to what they had presented. So, looks like it may not be happening anymore.
Right.
Speaking of the writers, one of my favorite shows on television right now, you know, is House. Jennifer Morrison, who plays the lovely Dr. Cameron on that show, says the cast has been lobbying with the writers of House to create a musical episode where they'll all get to sing.
Those are always fun,
I
actually.
I like it when shows do that, too.
I do too.
Scrubs did it. I thought it was very entertaining.
Buffy did it.
Yeah. So hopefully the writers will get back to work so we can see that sometime. Wayne Brady doesn't have to worry about writers because he's got that reality show, Don't Forget the Lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an early Christmas for Wayne. Fox has just announced they're ordering another 13 episodes of Don't Forget the Lyrics, hit on Fox.
They can't just say, wow, we got lucky putting that piece of trash on and got away with it.
Nope.
No, but they don't have anything else to do. All these networks are going to be turning to stuff like that, don't you think?
It's all reality all the time, man. Speaking of which, The Hills has its season finale tonight. I'm sorry, it's not a reality show. It's made to look like one.
We need you. Spencer, could you cry a little bit more? We want to take that again.
Lauren Conrad says on tonight's episode, she makes a big decision that she calls very exciting and life-changing.
I hope it's to talk Audrina into stripping.
Yeah, that would be good. Sources close to the show say it may be Lauren decides to read a book.
Oh,
so that would be exciting. I hope it's Green Eggs and Ham, something she can wrap her head around. I don't want her to be overwhelmed.
How is she still a star? How is she still famous all these years later after Laguna Beach?
I have no idea. And tonight's the big Led Zeppelin reunion concert at the O2 Arena in London. Kevin, what time's the plane leave?
I'm not going, dude.
You're not going?
No.
Kevin's got Zeppelin playing a party at his house over the summer.
He doesn't
need to go to them.
Just don't they shoot you over London in a tube?
A pneumatic tube, yeah.
It was supposed to happen on November the 26th, but guitarist Jimmy Page broke his finger in a mysterious gardening accident. So it's happening tonight. If you're lucky enough to attend, you're probably not listening to us.
I have a friend who emailed me over the weekend. He was just getting ready to leave. He's actually going. He's a guy who works in the record company that they're with. So he was able to get a ticket. And I wish I were better friends with him because I would so have tried to go.
Well, just wait for the Bonnaroo Festival
that's not happening.
What?
Yeah, that was bad information.
Where'd you hear that? Today's celebrity birthdays, Emmanuel Siricki. She plays Sloan on Entourage. She's a tasty dish.
Yeah, certainly.
She is 30 years old today. Kenneth Branagh, one of my favorite actors. He is 47 years old today. Did it again. Paul Hardcastle, musician, is 50 years old today. And Michael Clark Duncan. Remember him from The Green Mile? Remember how scary he was in The Green Mile?
He was.
I remember how scary he was in person on the Dodger celebrity baseball team.
Until you saw him play baseball.
Until you saw him play.
Yeah.
Remember, he threw like a girl.
Yeah.
He threw like a girl.
Big dude, though. Big dude.
Who's going to tell Michael Clark Duncan he throws like a girl?
Exactly.
Not a person. Swung a bat like a girl. Threw. Like... No, you know what? That's an insult to girls.
Wow.
He was worse than... He was horrible.
God, I hope for some reason we have Michael Clark Duncan in the show.
Do. Just play that tape.
I don't care what he is pimping. If he's going to be in the Chelsea Handler freaking show.
Come on.
I want him in to promote his appearance, and then we're going to play that tape.
Come on.
And I'm going to watch him eat you.
I'm just saying.
Kevin is going to send Linus to solve it, you know, like a man.
Sure. Kevin was jumping the tube, and he won't even get near Michael Clark Duncan. He's 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Unbelievable how much better smelling this studio is now than it was 1 minute ago.
Yeah, Ralph left, and we have two girls now.
I know.
It's a good trade-off.
Adrian Curry, first of all, good morning.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, good to see you again.
Good morning.
Second of all, your beautiful best friend, Andrea, is also here. Andrea Brooks, good morning.
Good morning.
You guys both look like hell.
Oh, I know.
I mean, like really, like death warmed over.
But like hot chicks that have had a long night.
Yeah,
hell.
Yeah,
not,
yeah.
Not it's like called Jaeger bomb hell. Oh. That's what it is.
Tell us about. We had our own party last night. Last night was the second of two nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007.
I heard.
So we're also operating on very little sleep. But tell us about your party. What'd you guys do?
We basically went to Hollywood and we partied with the producers of My Fair Brady, mm-hmm. some Rock of Love chicks. I think new season of Flava of Love chicks. I didn't know who they were, but they're freaking crazy. So I'm just guessing.
When Adrian calls a chick crazy, she crazy.
Dude, it was really weird because it's mostly like, you know, the movers and the shakers, and then they like invite a few freaks to entertain everybody. But
you have to invite the freaks.
They knew I wasn't going to, you know, entertain them. I was the one that was supposed to sit with them and point and laugh at everyone else.
Yeah, sure.
So
doesn't Flava draw the best hose for that show, though? I mean, he has an unbelievable casting. Whoever the person is who casts for the Flavor of Love is amazing.
You know what? I actually saw the behind-the-scenes casting. What they do is they put all these pictures of chicks up, and Flav goes, hell yeah, hell no, and that's about it.
That's how they do it?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
At least for the first season.
He knows how to pick.
So you wrapped the new season of My Fair Brady that doesn't start until January. That's already in the can? Is that what happened?
Yeah, it's wrapped. Dude. The last that we filmed was when Andrea and I were at the Fisherman's Wharf in Redondo Beach.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that was it.
Now, what's the deal? You guys are best friends from way back?
How old were you when you met?
14 years old.
12 to 14 years old.
Yeah.
And this was in suburban Chicago, right?
Yeah.
You guys were friends? And when you were growing up and you're just having girl talk and, you know, pillow fights and stuff like that in panties.
We did that the other night.
I'm sure
we did at that club.
What kinds of conversations did you have about where you thought your future was going to take you?
What was
the plan back there when you guys were talking to each other about what you wanted to end up doing as grown-ups?
Well, it always involved Trent Reznor with Adri.
Oh, Trent Reznor dying from some drug overdose, I guess. But I have better and bigger things that I've reached for now. How about you, Andrea?
Now, you brought Andrea into... How did the whole Playboy thing work with both of you?
I told half of them. I said, I got a really hot friend. And we wanted to do a very Stanley Kubrick, Eyes Wide Shut, Helmut Newton-esque, you know, shoot. And I said... I got a lot of chemistry with this girl, and plus she's fine. And I would love to see her as a playmate, which she's getting a really great response now.
So. Oh. Yay!
And I get a finder's fee, which means I'm going to go shopping.
Was there any hesitation on your part, Andrea? Had you done anything nude before?
Oh, no, not at all.
Why not?
She's got a lot of confidence.
She's
very
convincing,
too. She's a great friend. Yeah, I knew as long as I could do it with her that it would be okay.
Oh, she was great,
and by do
too.
It, you mean... What? Take pictures?
The photos, Kevin.
Have you seen
the magazine?
No.
Yes, I have.
We had a blast. The one picture where I'm laying on the couch and she's on top of me. Mm-hmm. The entire room, everyone's faces were red. That was, yeah.
Like, we shouldn't be here.
That was a little ridiculous.
Did they all leave and give you a moment?
No, they didn't leave at all. I think more people walked in.
They were two-waying. Hey, you got to come in here right now.
That's why there's so many people in the background.
They're about to make out.
It is very, you're right, it's very Eyes Wide Shut. It's exactly what it looks like out of the movie. So Adrian, so you... You've already been in Playboy a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And how did it come about that you were going to do it again? Was it because you got the new boobs and you figured it would be a great way to unveil
them? It wasn't just that. Like, it's been a few years. Mm-hmm. And every time I see, you know, a picture of me from that Playboy, I'm like, God, I look young.
Right.
I look like illegal, you know?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, I've gained a few pounds, a whole 10.
Right.
And it wasn't in my chest. That's extra.
That's another 10, right?
Yeah. So
that's the best 10.
So I figured, I said, I'm a woman now. I'm going to go do it. And, you know, the comparison between the spreads, I mean, it's substantial.
You should do it like every 4 years. You should do it.
Oh, every couple of years.
I love half and half loves me, so he needs to stick around. He's generous.
All right, so Andrea, so she calls you and says, hey, I'm going to do it again, and we're going to do some group photos. Are you in? Was there any hesitation on your part? You just said, sweet. Sounds great.
No, life is all about just taking the experiences and the risks that come along. And I couldn't have been more happy.
Your husband hesitated.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised I'm not pregnant yet. He's so happy.
Really? Because he could say to everybody, yeah, it's my wife at Playboy.
Pretty much.
This is the only way our husbands can oogle our best friends without dying.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay, now this is what's awesome. And again, if you're just joining us, Adrian and Andrea are here because of the new Playboy that's out on newsstands now, the January 08 issue. Adrian Curry's on the cover.
You can't miss it. It looks like my Pikachu is hanging out.
It does. It does.
But it's a trick of the eye. It's actually the button of the chair. That is not
what. How about that? now I totally forgot what that question was going to be, but I was leading up to something.
No, it was going to be good. Sure.
So hard to believe you're going to be shocked by this. I read the interview, too. I didn't just look at the picture. I actually read the interview. And you talk about how Andrea is one of your few friends that you've never been able to make woman love to. You've managed to make woman love to all of your other friends that are hot, but she's a holdout.
Like, she's like family, though. She's like my sister.
But wait a minute. Can she be like your cousin? Because that's a little easier to deal with.
It depends on what state.
I'm Italian. I'm not a hillbilly.
All right. I'm just checking.
Yeah, you know, my mom took her under her wing. She's like family. She's lived with us before, so that...
You guys shower together or anything?
All the time.
All right, good.
But not like that.
Yeah. Oh, not like that.
It's more like, we got to get ready. Oh, my God, do you have a razor? Shave my armpits.
But you're men only is what Adrian says about you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Men only. Well,
but women are so beautiful, though.
She appreciates women. Every woman is bisexual, according to Harvard. If you studied their, you know,
we agree,
but
it's not as repulsive. I mean,
I
women
can't
are
stand Chippendales, but
women
I'll go
are beautiful
to a strip
dudes
club.
Together. That's not right. That's the devil's stuff. You know what I mean?
Jesus loves lesbians. Right. Not crazy about the homos.
I mean, really, that's
what we've learned. All right, we need to take a break. We're going to come back. We have many, many more questions for you guys, and we're going to go through and describe every shot in the Playboy if you haven't had a chance to see it yet.
All right.
And also, Adrian, we want to hear about you and your husband and going to Russia. We got to hear about that,
oh,
which
God.
Sounds like I noticed you're wearing a little communist hat here this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear all about that when we return after this in the World Famous Care. The beautiful Adrienne Curry, the first and still the best winner from America's Next Top Model, and three seasons now of My Fair Brady, and back in Playboy magazine, new issue on newsstands now from January 2008 is what it says. Beautiful, beautiful pictures, especially with your hoo-ha on the cover. You're right about that.
Huff came up, and, you know, after my first spread, he'd maybe say hi to me when he'd see me walk by. Oh, hi. And after this spread, he, like, walked. We were at this Reality Really Awards. He's there with his girls.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He gets up. And he shuffles across the room, and he actually gets down on his knee, took my hand and kissed it. And, you know, I see
wow.
I see why girls fling themselves at him. It's not just because he's Huff. That dude's got charisma.
Really?
He told me, he's like, you look nothing like you did in your first spread. And he's like, and it's not a bad thing. Like, oh,
he's got
okay.
charisma, doesn't he?
He does.
I think it's his confidence. I think that he realizes that he's Hugh Hefner.
He knows he's Hugh yeah. Hefner. Because you know what? I don't know what it is. It's like you feel your clothes start ripping off, and he's near. It's like, oh no.
And you're fine with it. That's the best part.
No, and you know, and he's got hot girlfriends.
Yeah, he certainly does, by the way. Why, if you're already a model and you're already successful, why breast implants? How did that happen? I mean, how could you have looked at your body previously and said, that could be better?
You want to know the truth?
I do.
I got knocked up unbeknownst to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know until I miscarried.
Oh, my.
And God was cruel, and one of my boobs grew.
And only
the other
one.
Yeah, and the other one stayed. And I went to the doctor. I'm like, what is this? You know, I've been waiting my whole life for bigger boobs, but why is there only one? She said, sometimes bodies just do weird things when your hormones are out of
really?
Control. I'm like, unacceptable. And finally, the day of reckoning mm-hmm. was when me and my husband were getting busy, and I was self-conscious, so I'd always, like, give him the good boob, you know? And he's all drunk. He's like, don't worry, baby. It's like being with two different women. And, I'm like, and that's when I said, you know what? I'm going to go, and I'm going to talk to the doctor. And I went, and it ended up I had an 85% size difference. I have 175
whoa,
cc's
really?
Here, 325 cc's on my other side.
I've never heard of that before.
It was a really big size difference.
Have you talked about this before?
Yeah.
I did not hear that story.
Well, nobody wants to hear that story. They're just like, boom! You know, they don't care why.
Now, a lot of people will think, because we have a real appreciation for a woman's bosom, and we've talked about them a lot on this show, and we've had a lot of listeners on who have gone through the procedure. A lot of people will be shocked to see you got implants, and they're not huge,
oh,
which
no,
is
no.
what most people go for. If
I
they're going to do it, they do it.
A lot of money to make sure that these were versatile, because as a model, you mm-hmm. know, if I'm doing men's stuff, I need to look a little bigger, but if I'm doing fashion, I need them to look small, and these are perfect. Because they're a really small C, and sometimes on a bad day, if I've lost a little weight, they're a large B. I'm too skinny. I look like a freaking cartoon character.
A lot of girls,
Flux or
a
something.
Lot of girls that are that skinny that have that big of boobs, and you go,
they look like lollipops
yeah,
all over.
And this one here, Andrea, is always telling me, you know, she wants to get implants now, and I'm like, no, it's not fun. You know,
it's
women
been contemplated.
Women need to realize. If you got small boobs and they're perfect, well, don't touch them.
Well, hold on. Let's not go too crazy with that. she's not speaking for the room, just so you know.
Hey.
I mean,
hey,
it's okay.
I like little perkies, too, but you got to have variety. They can't all be big.
Well,
come
they
on.
Could. I mean, it would be all right.
Just
but...
if they're, like, saggy or something,
exactly.
fix them.
Exactly. Put the magazine down just for a second.
It's
they're
research.
Right here.
No,
they're
I know,
in the
but
room.
It's research, though. It's research. And they're wearing clothes in the room. All right. Let's talk about Russia.
Oh, yeah.
What's the deal? Is this a different show? This one's on the WE channel.
Yeah, it was a one-episode special.
Okay.
We went to the former Soviet Union. We went to Moscow, Sochi, and St. Petersburg. I got pneumonia, developed a heart murmur.
Oh, good.
Had a fever of 105. And I was, like, in a third-world country-type town.
Why'd you go to Russia? What was it for?
We were going to host the Mrs. World pageant. And
Mrs. You and hubby?
Yeah, and when we went over, before we went over, they said, listen, you know, do you mind if we document? I'm like, no, reality TV, no. And they're like, no, there'll be no editing. There'll be no stupid side effects and stuff. It's just you. And I thought about it. I said, okay. And you know what? They kept the word. That was just us. I wish I wasn't so miserably sick, but that was...
Now, most of us hear about Russia, have never been, never will go. What's it like on the ground there?
there's some really beautiful stuff, but it's sad. These people have been through so much hell.
Yeah.
They're miserable. Their biggest saying is happiness is where I'm not. That's their saying.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And
way to bring us down.
I'm reading the Moscow Times, and besides seeing ads for, like, Jessica Simpson as a prostitute, but her name was Lena, and, like, Victoria's Secret models, they had them all changed. It said Moscow Times is not responsible for what's depicted in these ads.
What, these are people who use those pictures in ads for other stuff?
Yeah, I actually posted on my MySpace. I'm like, Jessica Simpson's dad's pimping her out.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't surprise anyone.
You know,
he'd
be the first to call, Jessica.
Yes, he would.
Yeah, no kidding. The people are desperately poor, right?
Many either people are incredibly rich or desperately poor. Right. Like
much like America's headed.
One or the other.
Yeah, well, we're going in that direction.
No, not that.
We're going in that direction. We're not there yet.
Right,
really scary. I mean, it's scary. I was getting yelled at left and right because every, like, begging old woman on the side of the street with a rosary I'm giving money to, and they're like, oh, don't you? Well, I'm like, what, is grandma going to go score some meth? She wants some
milk.
Bread.
Yeah.
Some milk, you know?
Then you came back and she was scoring meth.
No, she wasn't. These people were so. It was just sad. It was really sad.
And did you you interacted with actual people on the street too, not just the handlers for the television show and whatnot? You actually talked to Russians?
Yes.
And how are they feeling about Americans?
Well, they hate us. But I'll tell a story. But I'm going to leave out who it was. A president of a certain country that's under a lot of fire from the UN right now sent his first man in command. Who comes up to me after the Mrs. World pageant. He's like, you are coming with me. I got a plane. You know, it's got gassed up and all this stuff. Then I have the Russian cops saying, you need to get out of here. This president of this country has a brothel of kidnapped women from around the world that he keeps. And I'm like telling my husband, dude, we got to go. And he's trash. I'm like, no, we're good. And this guy is like freaking me out. I'm like, no, we got to go. So then we had the Russian cops escort us back to the hotel. And I was so scared.
So wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand this.
Yeah, I almost got kidnapped to be kept in a brothel in a foreign country.
That's what I thought you were saying.
In Iran.
Yeah.
Somewhere
like that. All I got to say is... I don't want to say any names because I'm actually really scared even here.
And really, in that part of the world with those kinds of people, they can just make you disappear, can't they?
Yes. Yes, they can. In fact, like, I could have murdered my husband and for $1 million got off. Isn't that terrible?
Did you consider that? Or?
If you smoke pot, 35 years in prison.
Oh! That's what they deal you in Russia?
35
yeah.
you know years.
I risked it, and then I said, no wonder why happiness is where you're not. Your pot sucks. You know? It was like smoking dirt off the ground.
Oh, it's like the bad guys on weeds,
yeah,
with their crappy pot. So how about the vodka?
Oh, the vodka was... Divine. They do not import any good vodka here. They will not send it here. All the good vodka is in Russia, and it tastes like water.
Because they need it, though.
Oh.
But they make it there, right?
Dude. Yeah. They had so much oil at one time that their old president wanted to find a way to convert oil into vodka. So they had people working on it for 10 years.
What a great idea.
Their astronauts were the first to drink in space. They have videos of it with, like, you know, toothpaste-like tubes, slamming vodka and stuff. Oh, my God.
Shots in space.
It's all they do. And they get so offended if you don't drink. That's why I got pneumonia, is one night we were drinking with the mayor of Sochi, and they get offended if you don't. So we're drinking.
Well, you got a 9-month winter to live through. I mean, you pretty much have to drink to A, stay warm, and B, not commit suicide.
Well, see, my problem was is I drank, and I was too warm. We opened up all the windows. We accidentally passed out, and I wake up in the morning butt naked. My husband has all the blankets, and I see my breath, and I'm like, oh,
nice.
You have the weirdest life, don't you?
I have weird crap happen in my life all
really
the time.
Do. Could they sell something like your Playboy magazine in Russia, or would that be verboten?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they could, but it would be so tame because their Playboy is naughty.
Really?
Oh, it's a little more hustler-esque there.
Yeah. Right.
Like the girls are like. Wah, wah.
If you could see what she just did with her legs in the air, you would have enjoyed that very much. Well, you always
make that noise too.
You always have the best stories, Adrian, when you come in. That is amazing. So, new season of My Fair Brady starts when?
Starts January 21st, I believe.
January 21st.
Andrea,
all right,
is going to be on My Fair Brady 3 as well. I don't believe we shower. Do
come
we?
On.
We don't. No. Not that one.
Get to that.
Well, we did it in the first season. We showered together.
Andrea, will we see you in Playboy again? Now that you've had this introduction,
so.
You'll do it again?
In a good word. Hey, I submitted you as playmate. And, I told her, I said, I love you, but I'm a little bit upset because I'm a member of the Cyber Club of Playboy. And I go on. I said, I just want to see the response of the spread. And I see it, and everyone's like, great spread. Dia needs her own spread. Dia needs her, like, all the way down. I'm like, well, what about nice new boobs? Can somebody say something about me?
Well, they were appreciating those, too, I'm sure.
Well, what it is they've already seen me, and now there's these two chicks kind of on the side in the spread, and they're like, who's that?
We have an insatiable appetite for new.
More new boobs.
Exactly. All right. January 08 is the cover issue that's out right now. It's on newsstands everywhere. Playboy, you got to check it out. Adrian, wonderful to see you again, my dear. Thank you so much for coming in. And Andrea, lovely to meet you. I hope we see you again as well.
Thank you. Very nice meeting you.
Thank you. A little rusty. Out late last night at Acoustic Christmas.
By the way, if you were out late last night at Acoustic Christmas or you went Saturday, we want your stories. We can't be everywhere. I know there was a lot of cool stuff that was going on. We want to hear about your stories in the pit or maybe backstage or maybe in the parking lot or maybe, you know, just at the show in your seats. What did you see? What did you do? What did you think? 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls. But first, you know what? We're running out of Hanukkah, guys. And I don't think this song has gotten the play it deserves this year on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Oh, dear God.
Who's with me for the Hanukkah Jews?
Yeah.
Come on. Should be number one on the Furious Five at freaking nine. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, ooh, Hanukkah. Hebrew things are going to happen.
Oy vey.
Oy vey. Hanukkah Jews outside my window. Hanukkah juice behind the trees. I wish the rabbi could see that these Jews live really cheaply, and it's Hanukkah juice outside my window plane.
Dreidel, 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 dreidel. Kosher, kosher, kosher. Shalom. Festival of lights. Festival of lights. Dreidel, 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 dreidel. Mitzvah, mitzvah. Shalom. Harvey Levin. Matzah, matzah. Sandy Koufax. Gefilte fish.
Hanukkah juice outside my window. Hanukkah juice behind the trees. Shalom.
Who would do something like that?
Jews.
There you go. That's for you. The chosen people.
I hear that they're using that at Guantanamo.
Oh, they really? Torture for the prisoners?
Yeah.
All right. Kevin, what were your highlights from this weekend?
Muse, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second best live band I've ever seen behind Rage Against the Machine. That guy is brilliant.
Yeah, it was amazing.
He's just bizarrely good, like genius level good. But genius level good, but can still connect on a, you know, song basis where he's not, you know, look at me. I'm not getting anything that's too complex. He's just brilliant, and he can still write songs that everybody loves.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
They did a little over an hour last night. They were the headliners of night number two, and every song was great.
Yeah.
That's what's unbelievable about that band. They don't have a bad song, and they're so great on stage. And by the way, if you did not hear because they weren't announced ahead of time, the Killers were a surprise guest that showed up last night, and they
were
came out.
Too.
They were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Evil Santa Claus on stage with them.
Yeah. Oh, he had evil in his eyes, that guy.
Covered the crowd with confetti during their performance, which was amazing. And it was just all around, both nights, just so strong. We're so fortunate here at K-Rock to have so many great bands that can really play live. Because, you know, you hear about some of these other holiday shows. You know, I don't want to mention any stations, but... And they got a teenager who comes out and lip syncs or raps along to a click track. I mean, that's their idea of entertainment over there. Every single band that we saw this weekend is up there playing their instruments and singing live and loud, and it was just great. There wasn't a weak moment in both nights.
I was disappointed in myself, though, because I forgot my Modest Mouse to English Dictionary. What is that guy ever saying?
Isaac,
not a clue.
When he gets into the gruff register, when he starts doing that.
He was there all night. When he talked, I didn't know what he was saying. I was like, what's going on here? What language is he speaking?
I hear rumors that there exists audio tape of our own Jed the Fish trying to interview Isaac Brock for Modest Mouse, which I think we're going to need a team of linguists to come in and decipher before we're going to be able to figure out what
That's
it is.
A-level interviewer with A-level interviewee.
Oh,
that
yeah.
brought my mind to a complete halt.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. But anyway, we want to take some calls real quick. If you were there, you got something to share. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we talk to Mike is in Riverside on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock the day after the Acoustic Christmas shows. Good morning.
Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Mike.
What'd you see, dude?
Night one, we were up in section 17, kind of towards the back there.
Right.
And the guy in front of us, one row to the left, threw up. And
good times.
He did not even bother to mention it, to get up, he just sat there, and he was kicking around with his feet, trying to push it away from him.
Oh, okay, so he threw up and then just stayed there to watch?
He just sat there like nothing happened.
That's dedication.
No kidding.
I just threw up. And then the guy next to me, who was stoned out of his mind,
yeah,
didn't even stand up, just sitting there the whole time. We barely got tickets. Nevertheless, he's just sitting there like he didn't even want to be there.
Right, yeah, I know. Yeah. You know what else is weird? I saw there was a girl sitting next to me who was two-waying.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I could understand if you want to, you know, contact your friends or whatever. But she kept two-waying and kept two-waying. And then I noticed there was a girl in the row in front of me that was also two-waying. I wanted to say, look, you can two-way anytime. These are bands. You should enjoy the... It turned out they were texting each other. The girl next to me was texting the girl in the row in front of us. They were friends.
Hey, what'd you think of that song? I thought that song was really good. How about this one?
What the hell's going on? You can't just look at someone, I don't know, give them a thumbs up or a nod or step over and say, wasn't that great? You got a text.
Or maybe compare notes afterwards.
What the hell?
Let's talk to Freddie. He's in Upland this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, line one. Freddie, how's it going,
hey,
man?
What's going on? What's going on, guys? Hey, Lisa, man.
Hello.
What's happening?
All right, check this out. I'm not here to knock on any bands. They all did a great job. I even became fans of other bands that I wasn't very familiar with.
Right.
But deep down, hands down, my opinion, Rise Against stole the show for both nights.
They were great.
They were good.
Yeah.
They were great. You're right about that. Talk about your energy.
Oh, yeah, the energy's amazing. I mean, the style of play of almost a continuous playing. I mean, I think they played more songs than any of the bands that had like a half an hour set.
Yeah, they were short and sweet, their songs, man, the Rise Against. And that guy, Zach, is so much fun, too. We were lucky enough to interview them before their performance.
Yeah,
he's just an awesome dude, so that's cool. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. You know, there are a lot of people around me who did not know Spoon and were really impressed with their set, too, which was great because they weren't that familiar with some of their songs. But, you know, that's how you know a band is really good is when they can win you over live and you're not familiar with the music and you still dig them.
The Shins were good, too. Linkin Park was good. Everybody was on their feet during that.
I liked Feist a lot.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah.
Rachel in Compton. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Lisa May?
I'm good.
Hi there.
I had the wildest time sitting next to two 45-year-old men smoking pot, getting my daughter a contact high. She's 16 years old. We saw that band come out, Silver Sun Pickups, and it was awesome. They started it up for everybody there, and Muse was fantastic.
Weren't they good?
And I did see the Assault on Lisa. I'm sorry, on Alex.
That's a story that they made up.
No.
I did not assault.
No, no, no.
Rachel, did we make it up?
No, no, no.
She wanted her booze massage. That's all. That's my story that I'm sticking to.
Right, sure.
So
surprised as hell.
What did your 16-year-old daughter, how did she react when she got high off the crowd?
Unfortunately, she asked to move over, so I exchanged places with her, and we got on with the party.
But she was really hungry on the way home, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, we stopped at In-N-Out.
Of course. I bet In-N-Out has their busiest night of the year after the Acoustic Christmas Show.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I just figured Compton would be the place to bring it, but unfortunately, it was the hippies next to us.
Yeah,
that's funny, funny. Well, glad you had a good time, and you're a cool mom to take your kid to a show like that.
She deserved it.
And not freak out when she gets high.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Really, huh? Thanks.
See you next year.
Thank you, Rachel.
Only genuine Toyota parts. Your Toyota dealership. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Dealership. I have a dealership.
By the way, I wanted to shout out to Gabby. I forgot to mention this in the last break. We were talking
about
Acoustic Christmas. Gabby bought her husband the Acoustic Christmas tickets for Christmas.
Oh.
Huge Linkin Park fan.
All right.
Gabby got drunk.
Yes.
Threw up. They had to leave before Linkin Park sang one song.
That's grounds for divorce right there.
Yeah.
Good work.
He should get to beat her on the way home.
Oh, stop.
Just beat her drunken, vomiting ass. That's what he should have done. He made me just Linkin Park. What's wrong with you?
That was the one band that he wanted to see. That's why she bought the tickets.
Wow. Before the emails come, I know violence against women isn't funny, blah, 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 blah.
That's a little bit funny.
It was a joke.
It's 8:56 at the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ralph, I don't know if you were listening. I know you got Big Boy on in the office
here. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
We had a scoop here on the Kevin and Bean Show a few minutes ago with beautiful Adrienne Curry.
We had two scoops.
We certainly did. Adrienne Curry, America's Next Top Model winner, My Fair Brady, Playboy magazine. She almost was kidnapped and forced into servitude in a brothel overseas. That almost happened.
Yeah.
Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
That just happened?
Yeah.
I wish we could do that here in the States. will force women into brothels.
That'd be
hot.
Oh, man.
Really hot chicks, you just force them into white slavery and prostitution. That'd be awesome. And once again, before the emails come in, yes, I recognize that white slavery and prostitution. Yeah.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Speaking of, did that just blow your mind that just happened? You know what movie that's from?
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Co-starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens I have got some very special tickets to give away to a cool event. It is a screening of Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, starring John C. Reilly as the legendary Dewey Cox. You get to see the movie, and then afterwards, you get to attend a private concert with John C. Reilly rocking out the songs from the movie.
So he clearly can sing. It's not what the lip sync job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So he'll be performing the Dewey Cox stories music at Cox Across America Tour.
Oh!
Lisa.
He portrays Dewey Cox himself. This all happens Thursday, December the 13th at the Arclight in Hollywood. This is a great event. You can only win tickets here on K-Rock if you'd like to go. I've got 15 pairs of tickets, but I want to make it a little bit more difficult.
Christopher!
To just give them away. Yeah, we did ask last hour what the C stood for in John C. Reilly.
Catfish!
It is Christopher. Kevin was right. This trivia question, since we're talking about the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights, John C. Reilly starred in that, but also starred in another racing movie that was equally as funny.
Oh,
not intentionally, but equally as funny. So if you know the name of that movie, please call now 1-800-520-1067. The first 15 people with the correct answer get a pair of tickets to this very special event with Dewey Cox.
You're going to go to that, aren't you?
Yes, sure as heck am.
Very funny movie.
Kevin already got a chance to see it and recommends it highly.
Really good.
So
call now. Linus saw it. Linus told Kevin about it.
And we'll give you the answer if you don't know it later on in the show, Biz Pete, because we neglected to do that last time, but it wasn't that hard.
I thought you were just being coy. You're just playing hard to get.
It's freaking Christopher, for God's sakes. What do you think this season? Gonna...
Are you mumbling a little bit, Ralph?
No, not at all. You know, they really should go to the day... after Acoustic Christmas off.
Hey, yes. I guarantee there's no one else at K-Rock besides the people in this room.
Because we're all freaking useless today. Yeah. Just useless.
It's tumbleweeds down the hall in this building right now.
Lisa's got a Geeler chip. And I'm trying to get Dave, the King of Mexico, to answer the phones for this contest. And no one can find him. He's just like wandering the halls, bouncing off them. I have Paramore gloves. It's like, doesn't make any sense. He's just mumbling to himself. Everyone's just wasted.
There's a line down the hall to use the restroom to throw up.
Yeah.
We have to wait. Take a number.
When I walked into where Dave answers the phones, his head was, and I can't believe he doesn't have imprints on his forehead, his head was like collapsed into his keyboard. He was sound asleep with his face in his keyboard.
Yeah.
He just kept typing, Riffin, over and over again, just a collection of letters his forehead was pressing down on. The Writers Guild talks broke off again on Friday. That means the producers and the writers have yet to come an agreement to end this ridiculous strike that's going on and just punishing all because we're not getting to watch our TV shows.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I was talking to a couple folks who work on CSI Miami last night at the concert.
With or without sunglasses on?
Sir? They're wearing sunglasses.
Okay.
Sir? Yeah, sir. They said, now this is a show. Show of death. Bam! And they said they're done. They have no more scripts to do, so they've all been laid off their show. And if things don't get settled before the holidays, the networks may just write next season off.
The whole season?
Oh, my God.
And put what on the air?
So the thing may not be settled until June of next year when they feel the pressure to have to start ramping up for the following season. I mean, this could be a lengthy, lengthy dispute. So,
like right now, for instance, all of us who are excited about Lost coming back in the spring, it's just not, it's likely just not going to happen at all if this thing goes on much longer.
Some of those episodes shot, but I don't know whether they're going to air them unless they have a full season.
Right, yeah. 24, all those shows that we're holding out for next year, now they're in jeopardy.
Yeah, that's bad.
This is way bad.
Jeopardy's
going away?
The tokens are going to be there? Wayne Brady doesn't have to worry about though. What? Wayne Brady doesn't have to worry about that, though.
Oh, the strike affects black people, too, Ralph.
No, his show is a reality game show, you see. They don't need writers. His Don't Forget the Lyric show has been picked up for another 13 episodes by Fox. So we'll all get to see many more people trying to sing along with songs and then not being able to.
It's crazy.
That's endlessly entertaining. It really is.
When they invented television, I don't think they foresaw a day that Americans would be in their homes watching someone try to remember the lyrics to Taken Care of Business by BTO. No. I just don't think that was what they had in mind.
No, I don't think Philo T. Farnsworth or whoever rocked out the first TV tube said, someday people will sing along with songs and then forget lyrics. That's why I'm inventing this, people. Please enjoy.
He would have gotten a hammer and smashed it into little pieces if he could have seen that coming.
You're wasting my genius. Ricky Gervais. Speaking of genius,
yes,
he is genius.
Yes,
he's giving us another episode of Extras, an extra
Yay.
Extras. You hear about this? They're doing a Christmas
week, right?
special next week on HBO.
Yeah.
This will be the wrap up for the series of Extras. He did the same thing with the original Office TV series that was done over in England. So we've got that to look forward to.
If you haven't seen Extras yet, you can get it on DVD now. Seasons 1 and 2, really, really funny.
It is very funny.
But wait a couple of months and buy it with this Christmas episode as part of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Buy the complete. But what's so frustrating about him is he invents these shows that are brilliant, like The Office and like Extras, and he will only do 13 episodes.
Yeah.
That's all he'll do.
Yeah.
Not in a season, period.
He doesn't want it to dip into the land of suckdom.
Well, he's wrong, though. A show can be good for more than one season.
But, you know, that's the way they do it in the UK when they do their TV shows. They don't plan on a show to run in perpetuity. They're not hoping for 100 episodes so they can syndicate it. They do one or two cycles of it, and that's how it's designed. It's only supposed to run for 10 or a dozen episodes, and then that's it. That's all they've written.
But when it ends up
like
being so good,
they
should change it up.
We should ask the Queen of England why they do it that way. That's
stupid.
What we should do.
Your Highness, why do they do that? Why do they do it that way, Your Highness?
Excuse me, Queen Elizabeth, why do you guys do that over there? Hello!
I can't.
That's how you got it.
Dude, it's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
I need a rest.
Britney Spears is a shoplifter.
That's what I hear.
TMZ.com has a video of her at a Chevron gas station outside of Los Angeles on Friday where she buys some gum from the register and then grabs a lighter without paying for it and takes off.
It's Britney, bitch.
Now, some people don't think that happened.
Gee, I wonder who.
Could it be Team Britney, who are chastising me for reporting this story? However, the owner of the gas station...
The guy who was stolen from...
Oh, what does he know?
...says...
He was there.
She did indeed steal a lighter.
Just trying to get
from
pressed.
From me, he said.
Just trying to get pressed.
Confirmed.
Out loud to people who were listening.
Liar.
Yes, Britney stole a blue lighter here last night, he told People magazine. The lighter is $1.39. I'm hoping maybe the next time she comes back, she will pay for it. I know
Liars.
She can afford to pay for it, but I'm not planning to file a police report. It's still not right for her to steal the lighter. I hope she will do the right thing the next time she comes here.
Close your leg, bitch!
That's not going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need Jesse from Team Britney on the show tomorrow to
tell us why
that didn't happen despite all the evidence.
I said Britney admitted that she stole it to one of the paparazzi.
Right.
The owner claims she stole it.
Right.
And Team Britney's Jesse is still saying, but no, because I've looked at the video and I can tell she didn't steal it.
It looked like she gave him enough money was
yes.
her argument.
And one of the paparazzi that were there, the guy from Us Weekly or something, went in afterwards and tried to pay for it because he saw that she stole it.
Right.
All made up lies.
She said if he really stole it, then the guy working at the counter would have said something and gone after her. Yeah, because you know how dedicated those gas station employees are. They're really willing to hunt you down for $1.39 lighter.
They'll risk their life for that.
Ralph, give me a number between 1 and 8, please.
Wow. 6.
Let's go to line 6. The question was, what John C. Reilly movie about race cars before Talladega Nights
the Ricky Bobby
was he in that was funny but not intentionally? That's what you want to know in order to win the tickets.
Yes.
Ben in Culver City. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Lisa Meg.
Hi, Ben.
Ben, what movie was John C. Reilly in?
Hey, brother, that was Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder, absolutely right.
Wow.
The Tom Cruise racing debacle. Tom Cruise is Cole Trickle in Days of Thunder. I'm not kidding you. His name is Cole Trickle.
I might need to get that
You
now.
Have to. It's just about as funny as Ricky Bobby. Quite
Tell
great.
Ben wow. what he's won.
Ben, you've won a pair of tickets to not only see Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, the brand new film starring John C. Reilly, but you get to attend the private concert afterwards watching John perform songs from the movie.
Thanks, guys.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
Thanks to Michael and Leo and Jason and Ray and Christian, Greg, Jerry, everybody else who won the tickets. And Ralph will have more, I think, tomorrow to give away, too.
I hope I do. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Clark Duncan is 50 years old today. Kenneth Branagh turns 47. And Emmanuel Siriki, who plays Sloan on Entourage, who is E's girlfriend, although not anymore. They broke up.
Didn't they?
Yeah. Stupid E. Stupid. Unless you start banging Anna Faris. She is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's Kevin and Bean here. We are not on the long list of people who actually had talent that walked through the doors here at K-Rock that then went on to have success. You know, people like Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla, the smart ones, the funny ones,
mm-hmm.
they got out.
Yes.
They left the boat.
You're
Carson Daly.
Here.
Yeah, we're dragging it out. Carson Daly, another perfect example of a guy who went on, actually made a career, actually made something of himself. We're so far in his rearview mirror, I bet he doesn't even remember working here. But he is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Carson.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Thought I might see you at the Acoustic Christmas shows over the weekend. I know you keep up with the rock music.
I heard it was awesome. I'm sorry. I missed it. I was out of town.
It was unbelievable. Now, we have two things that we're talking to Mr. Daly about. One is because we're going to be on vacation after this week, we're not going to get the opportunity right up to New Year's to talk about what you've got, your special on NBC. We'll get to that in a sec. First, though, you are back on the air with your late night show.
Yeah, we are.
Now, you should be killing with guests. Like, everyone who's got a movie to promote that can't go on any other show, you should have the best guest list in the history of television this week.
No, unfortunately, you know, I mean, you might think so, but, you know, a lot of the actors in particular don't want to come on the show during the strike. It's been a lot of models and a lot of athletes.
We were saying some horrible things about you last week. Now, let's talk about the strike. And why you had to come
back. I heard
back.
You guys were kind to me last week.
Well, Bean and I were. Well, I mean, look, for folks who just look at headlines, Carson, they see everyone's staying home because of the writer's strike in solidarity for the writers, and then they see one guy that's not, and it just raises a lot of questions. So one of the reasons we thought it'd be cool to talk to you is actually kind of, I know you addressed it on your show first night back, but we thought we might hear from you as to why you thought it was okay, because clearly you've got writers on your show, and you've got lots of friends in the business who are writers as well.
Well, I never thought it was okay. That was the biggest misconception.
Okay.
I tried to articulate all this without writing on my first night back, but the big misconception was that, you know, like I had some sort of choice and that I just decided to come back on when I really didn't. I mean, I was given an ultimatum after a month of being dark and observing the strike that NBC put in front of me that said, you know, you either put a new show on the air December 3rd or we're going to fire 75 of your staff and crew, which is just a terrible, terrible position to be in.
And by the way, there's a lot of those kind of threats going around this time of year, which really sucks.
It really, and by the way, the 75 people, I mean, my staff, you know how, I mean, when I worked at K-Rock, I was the same way. I mean, I'm very friendly with everybody.
Of course.
Right. It's like a family, and that was it. I mean, there's been a huge cloud of press and, you know, me crossing a line and it was because there was no way I was going to fire 75 of my staff and crew. A lot of them who moved across the country when we moved the show from New York to L.A.,
right.
You know, a lot of them have families and kids, and there was no way I could sleep at night.
And you're also not a member of the Guild, right?
I'm not a member of the Guild. You know, we were out for a month. You know, we basically tried as hard as we could, and we were lobbying. I mean, I thought after 2 weeks of being dark, I would have had that ultimatum put in front of me.
Hmm.
So I was actually lucky that our non-writing staff was floated kind of as long as they were.
Right.
But I mean, all in all, it was just a terrible situation. I was not happy about coming back to work. I support the Guild. I was supporting the strike. I support my four Guild members who are writers.
Right. Well, there's certainly no winners in this strike.
No,
at this point.
There was enough damage done, and there was no way I was going to, you know, let 75 people get fired.
But let me ask you this, and forgive me because I don't understand television as well as you do, but why is that same ultimatum not being given to the other NBC shows? Why does Jay not hear that? Why does Conan not hear that?
I think because I worked at K-Rock at some point.
They still hold that against you? That's the black mark?
Yeah, they're Power 106 listeners.
But, I mean, seriously, why wouldn't they say the same thing to try to get the other late-night shows back
on? I don't know. The one thing that I did learn, I think it's another misconception, is that, you know, every late-night show, every host is under a completely different set of economics. Everybody's got their own pressures. And probably because, and I said this on the first night back, too, we look like a late night show. I wear the goofy suit, say a couple of jokes, but you know, we're really, you know, I'm only a half an hour show. I'm predominantly an interview show with a band. So,
right.
You know, we're easy to pick on. We're at 1:30 in the morning and, you know, that was that. They just said, you know, I only had one option.
Now,
it's not like I had a bunch of choices. Like, you know, I should wait another month. I want to see how I didn't want to be back on the air during the strike at all.
Here's the question that comes to my mind immediately. You have 75 people working on that show?
Yeah, there's a staff and crew that of about 75.
Hey.
Every time we shoot a show, they're the
Wow. I just heard last night they were talking to on the news. They were talking to one of the people who's laid off from Desperate Housewives. There's over 300 people that work on that show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just I think television takes a lot of bodies. Carson, it really sounds like you're still super bummed out about this. Like this is really kind of eating you up.
I mean, it was a tough week in the press for me, and I knew, you know, people had said, you know, don't, you know, nobody wants to. Well, people, well, you know, Ellen was back after a day. We weren't the very first show back, but. Everybody said how brutal it was going to be in the press, and I'm kind of an easy target anyway. But, you know, it's sometimes hard, especially in the entertainment business, to kind of do the right thing. It's not a popular thing to do. And
right.
I was bummed, you did the right thing, right? I did the right thing. I mean, I know I did the right thing, and it's a crappy situation all the way around. I mean, the strike is affecting everybody.
Okay.
So.
Carson's show, by the way, for those who don't watch it, he does get the best musical guests in television because he gets guests as they're really the musical acts that are on their way up. I mean, his show is like one step above college radio. It's actually kind of cool, to tell you the truth.
In a good way, though.
Thank you.
In a good way, yeah, exactly. I mean, I guarantee there's a long list of spoons in bands like that you probably had on first, Carson, because you could.
Well, I mean, being, again, like the super late night show, and there's, you know, Jay and Conan, and there's a lot of late night shows on now, and we figured, like, one niche that we could do that is an extension of what I was able to do a little bit at K-Rock and at MTV was try and find some of these newer bands and give them a shot. I mean, we have bands on that we think are great, and we say, hey, come do the show and use the tape of the show to try to get a real late night booking.
That's a good idea.
Carson, last week when this strike came up, we were saying, we know Carson. He's a good guy. There's no possible way he's going to just go out and try and screw the writers.
I don't think the people, you know, in reading the press, I don't think people really know. I think they just think of late night as late night, and I think a lot of people thought I was saving my own ass, or there was so much rumor.
Right.
And I felt terrible, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it was like, what would you do if someone said, you know, you have 75 people are going to get fired? I said, listen, we're only a 22-minute show. You know, I have four writers. The average late night show probably has 15. We're not heavy on the comedy, clearly.
Exactly.
We can do a show, and if it's going to save jobs of 75 people, I may not be popular for pulling the trigger on this, but I mean, I do not have a choice.
Right. Well, I appreciate you addressing that. I'm glad you were talking about that with us. NBC New Year's Eve with Carson Daly. You are back. You had the highest ratings in 5 years on NBC with the New Year's Eve special last year. Among the people who are home on New Year's, and this is really just me in this room, there's no one else watching TV, the big dog is ABC. That's the show that everybody tries to bring down, right, Carson? That's the one that's been popular for 40 years.
They've been the longest in the game, and they've been doing it longer than anybody. And yeah, I don't know what other networks do. I mean, NBC, I think historically has never really been in the late night or the New Year's Eve special business. You know, they've done some stuff, but no one's ever really like, kind of gone after ABC. They've been the only kind of shop in town on that night.
Right. But here's my question for you, Carson, and I know you take pride in your work and you want to do well. If you can't beat a 80-year-old guy who had a stroke, are you trying? I mean, what's going on?
Well, we're getting there. The ratings have gone up every year, and it's, you know, it takes a lot. He's a powerful 80-year-old man.
Yeah. Can you wheel out Kirk Douglas? Would that be how you counter that, as you bring out your own 80-year-old?
Another guy with a stroke?
Yeah.
His agent would call me back.
let me see. So you got Lenny Kravitz is going to be playing. I know
we got new
music.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz is going to perform live in Times Square. And as you know, Times Square is just nuts. We try to produce the show. We just figure, like, you know, for people who would never go to New York, I mean, we think New Year's Eve is just, that's kind of all it's about, is just being drunk and watching people in New York freezing and watching the ball drop.
Right, and so saying, I'm so glad I'm not there. It looks so cold and so crowded. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm not there.
By the way, Carson spent more than a few years with MTV being out there in that 20-degree weather live.
Well, I got to say, like, Kurt Loder and John Norris, you know, I used to sit inside and, you know, I'm getting drunk with Chingy or something, playing bad music videos, and going, man, this gig rules, and I'm sit next to usually, you know, a hot actress.
Right.
And I would look at Kurt Loder just freezing. I was like, man, that guy got a raw deal.
And let me tell you something.
He's been here for 40 years and I'm in.
Yeah. He has not aged well on his own. And then you put him out in the cold. You know, look out.
Kurt Loder outside.
40 years.
Get him out.
Alicia Keys, by the way, also will be doing a couple of numbers on your show, too. So.
Yeah, we got a good show. Lenny and Alicia. And, you know, we're an hour. We're coming on 11:30. We're off at 12:30. And everything's live. And it's a lot of fun. So, we're stoked for I think it'll be the best one yet.
I got to tell you, we had Acoustic Christmas over the weekend, Carson, and Drunk with Chingy was they headlined last night. They were very good.
That's a good band.
I heard they were just slightly better than Rise Against.
That's a good band. All right, Carson Daly, Last Call with Carson Daly airs weeknights on NBC at 1:35, and then the NBC New Year's Eve with Carson Daly is going to be
unbelievably on Monday night, December 31st. I can't believe it. Comes out at 11:30. Yeah. Carson, always great to catch
guys,
up with
I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
That's really not working, Mike. That did not help at all. Interesting.
Someone turn beans machine.
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize today. It's a $100 gift card from Kevin Jewelers.
Can you turn that music up a little bit? I can't hear it.
I'm not paying attention.
Are you listening to the show at all, Kevin?
No.
Okay, no.
Let's start with Philip, who has a great... Oh, he just dropped. Philip got fired at his Christmas party.
He just got fired from our phone line, apparently.
Let's see. Let's go to Martha in Commerce. Good morning, Martha. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Martha?
How are you guys doing?
We are good, thanks.
I can't believe it. I was one of the unlucky people to not be able to get tickets for your almost to Christmas. But right. I got to tell you, this is my first year I saw the webcast. Muse was amazing.
Aren't they unbelievable?
I can't believe it.
It's one of the best live bands ever. Yeah, that guy's a genius.
The guitar playing, I mean, everybody was key on, like, the drummer, everything was so amazing, you know what? And so, like, just calling in to say, well, good morning, but kudos to whoever, like...
Well, I'm glad you called, Martha, and it's AT&T Blue Room that does that production for us. And I can't confirm this, but I believe that generally for these shows, they put it up archived for a week or so you get a chance to go back and see it.
Oh, cool.
Please don't quote me on that.
Amazing show. So thanks a lot, guys, and listen to you guys every morning. So.
Okay, I'm glad you called, because a lot of people think, the webcast has got to be bogus, I'm not going to bother. But it's beautifully produced, and the sound is great, and the picture is great, and it really is commercial-free. You can't beat it.
People think we're trying to pull it off, and then they go, that's going to suck.
Exactly.
Plus, you get to see the show sober, which is a whole different experience. I don't remember much.
Let's go to Miko in Hermosa Beach. Good morning, Miko.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. What it do?
Good morning. Hi, wait for me.
Hello.
So, I had a celebrity sighting, and I meant to see Dave Grohl at the mall while he was on this carousel with his little girl. Aww. And it was so sweet. Well,
that's
first
cute.
He noticed the little girl, and then I was like, God, that guy looks familiar, and then it goes around again. And I see him like, I think that's Dave Grohl, and then it goes around again. And I'm like,
you're slow.
Oh, my God, it is Dave Grohl.
Those things move at like 1 mile per year.
I stopped on the carousel, and I said, that looks like Dave Grohl. And then I walked up to him, and I said, are you Dave Grohl?
No, I'm totally terrible at recognizing people. And, I mean, the Arnold Schwarzenegger was at my church one time, and my friend literally had to point and turn my head before I could actually recognize and see him. So
wow. It's a female me. This is great.
And I went to almost a Christmas. Christmas, and it was so wonderful. I'm
excellent.
So happy.
Which night did you go?
I went to the first night. And yeah, Lincoln, what was with those band geeks though on Lincoln Park? They and the drum lines that they had going.
Oh yeah, from UCLA.
Oh, is that where they were from?
Yeah, I thought that sounded good.
Me too. I thought it was cool.
They were from high school. I thought that sounded cool. That was a good way for them to open their set, too. That worked.
Cool, but they just look so dorky up there.
Well, they're
cute. Well,
they're a marching band.
They're a marching band.
Look, that was that moment on stage with Linkin Park is literally the high point of their lives. I mean, they have peaked now. It's a downward spiral from here out. So,
thank you for the call.
Miko, glad you called. Speaking of the show, let's get, I doubt it's Breen. It says Breen. I'm betting it's Brian.
Oh, I hope it's Breen. That'd be the coolest name
from
ever.
Northridge. John Lye one. Is this Breen or Brian?
It's Brian. Oh. I've been being called Brain. People have been misspelling it since I've been 5 years old. I'm used to it.
But Dave, the King of Mexico, is hungover and Beer Mug's still drunk. So
we're lucky we got that much out of him.
Yeah. Right. Awesome. What's your question, Breen?
Well, you know what? I went to night one of the Acoustic Christmas, and Linkin Park rocked the show, Rise Against rocked the show. But I have to tell you something. I was a little bit disappointed in the performance of Angel and Airwaves.
How come?
And the reason for that is because I was really expecting Psycho Mike to be up there doing a duet with Tom DeLonge.
Yeah. Well, it should have been two Toms.
Yeah, you don't need to do a duet. One or the other is fine.
The Tom Club.
Let's find out, because Tom is here. Tom, why weren't you up on stage with them?
Because of MS DOS and Linux and the stars in the sky that shine above.
Wow.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense.
All of those reasons. On stage in the following years.
All right. Thank you, Brain.
Thank you.
Let's talk to John in Lakewood on line 7. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. John, good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephews and baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Okay, so this weekend I was in the holiday spirit, and I decided to buy a bum some food from McDonald's. And
okay.
As I was paying at the register, he took my wallet and started running and stole $120 from me.
No way!
You couldn't catch him?
I swear.
You couldn't catch a bum?
Know, I want to know, should I hunt this guy down and
yes.
get the crap out of him?
Yes. But wait a minute, John.
Enjoy my $120 for the holiday.
Let's go back to
That's
the first question.
Bum.
You couldn't catch the bum?
No, well, I was in a mall, and there was a bunch of people. You know, it was Christmas shopping. Yeah. So,
you should have yelled, stop that screwed. Bum!
Yeah, I know. I should have.
Should you hunt him down? Probably not.
For $120 bucks? Probably not.
That $120 bucks is already gone.
Yeah, I know it is. But I want to kick his ass right
now. No, I think in the holiday spirit, you're right. You just have to kind of give that up and say, all right, that's my contribution to a poor soul.
Or find another bum and beat him up.
To everybody out there?
Yes.
My holiday spirit is gone.
Yeah.
I trust nobody.
Don't let it get you down, man.
He's crushed. This
guy's really... Plus, you can write it off as a donation.
That's
take it
true.
Off the taxes.
Oh,
sure,
any donation.
$120 bucks.
Yeah. But that blows just a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
Get rolled by a homeless guy.
I hate bad bums.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Carson Daly. NBC New Year's Eve with Carson Daly airs on New Year's Eve, remarkably. And Last Call with Carson Daly airs weeknights on NBC at 1:35. How awesome was Adrienne Curry in here today?
Yes.
Playboy, huh?
She's a good time.
She is wonderful. Current issue is on newsstands now. New season of My Fair Brady begins airing in January on VH1. By the way, all the stuff with her boobs, decide to get the implants, everything like that, all that's in season 3. So we'll get a chance to kind of see her go through the process.
With her lopsided boobage.
How about Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com for being on the show today. Shalom. And thanks to Marnie and Bernie Barta. They run KidFlix.org. You ought to check it out if you did not hear the interview this morning. In a nutshell, it's basically to get DVDs in the hospital so people that are sick in the hospital have something to watch while they're recovering. It's a great, great idea. 28,000 movies they've had donated to hospitals already. KidFlix.org.
Maybe they should be working harder and getting well and less time spent watching movies. You know what I mean? Have a little focus. Have a little attention paid.
I think you can do both. Probably.
Maybe you can.
Tomorrow morning, this is Kevin speaking. I have a new website I need some help with.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
I don't even worry about that. It's going to be good.
I don't know that you want to start that war, by the way.
I can put
up a website just as easily.
And we'll tell you about the new condom burger tomorrow morning.
Yummy.
Can order it with extra sauce, by the way.
How dare you?
I'm saying the burger.
All right, turn all the lights off because Kat Corbett is coming in next. You know what she's like after an average weekend. Imagine what she's going to be like tonight.
Up next, so hungover.
She's got Foo Fighters, Adam Sandler's holiday song, Green Day, New Jack Johnson, Papa Roach, and more after this on the world famous K Rock.